Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. How are you? that is my house on any given day. Man, how you doing, Mark Riley?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. How was the weekend?
The weekend was pretty good. Kalo, you all right over there on the board?
I'm doing great, man.
How did your weekend go, man?
It was great. I went over to Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman's house.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I didn't know there was... Did I know there was a party?
Pashman didn't invite us.
I think he did, but the thing, it was a football-based thing.
It was a giant party.
And as we've established that, I would not be of any help, or I would just be a buzzkill at a sports event party.
I'm not a big Giants fan, so it wouldn't have made any difference to me if they lost. So I would have been sitting up there among a bunch of fans just saying, who cares?
Yeah, I'm not even a sports fan, really. I mean, I can, like
you
I
like
said,
no sports at all?
I don't watch anything with any regularity. I mean, occasionally I'll walk by a basketball court and go, whoa, look at that, whoa, and then keep walking.
Well, what about participating?
I was known to play a little softball in
softball?
My day, occasionally.
No cross country? You look like you could have done cross country at one
running?
Time.
Running?
Yeah, man.
Are you kidding? I started smoking Marlboro cigarettes when I was 13 and a half.
Oh, you've right, never so, seen those guys running cross country smoking cigarettes?
In high school, I was so far from doing sports, you know, that I had such a deep contempt for any jock in high school. That was where I came from. You know what I mean? We were definitely hanging out with the freaks and the yahoos, driving around in fast cars. But the sports guys, I mean, to this day, right?
But see, I played soccer in high school. Soccer players
that
were
even
never
an option.
But they
in
weren't
my
considered
school.
Jocks.
What kind of school did you go to? They didn't have soccer in my school.
They went to the town I grew up in Connecticut. They did not have a football team.
No.
They had a soccer team. They had a really good.
You know what's
soccer.
Sad? I just realized that they might have had soccer, and I have no
they
idea.
Just
they
paid no attention. They didn't know about it. Because, you know, soccer players were never, you know, I went to military school for 3 years, and soccer players in that environment, when you're next to, you know, big steroid-sucking, steak-eating football players, they're not considered jocks. They're just considered guys who kick a ball around. My senior year, when I went to the school that I spoke at a couple of weeks ago, the Gunnery, it was a little different. Soccer had a little bit more exalted position. It was too bad we just didn't play that well, but
I would have liked to have liked sports more. I mean, to this day, though, I swear to you, if I see a high school student with a letter jacket on,
you go crazy.
No, some part of me goes, oh, no, be cool, man. Be cool. You know, like
what, do you think he's going to pick a fight with you?
Exactly. Like, when does that go away? I'm like this 41-year-old guy walking down the street. Like, the high school kid, but I don't even notice me. But there's some part of me inside that's like, you don't want to meet their eyes because that's when you're going to run into trouble.
No, it's only if you try to crack on their girlfriends or something. And you don't do that.
No, I'm looking at Larson. Clutch Larson is like, you know, he's like nodding like, yes.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was my life. Imagine that, me and my little book bag. with all my new... In my knapsack with his new comic books in it.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, you know, everybody... And see, the thing is, all of this drama that goes on in high school turns out to be for nothing when you get older. At least not for me.
Well, there's no better moment than going back to your hometown and seeing the quarterback at the football, you know, the football team.
Working at the Kmart.
Yeah, whatever. That's it. Yeah.
Selling, pumping gas doing something else.
The weird thing is that I was not... I was friends with a lot of those guys. I mean, I knew those guys. I could hang with them. There wasn't anybody I really couldn't hang with. I mean, I've always been sort of like that. I like people. And I would hang out with some of the jocks because they were out of their minds. But there was a certain type of them that I really couldn't stand.
Well, as time's going on, a lot of these jocks, even as young as high school, they end up being so privileged because, there's a certain percentage of them figure, well, I'm going to go on to college. And, when I was in school, it was like they were the ones that got the steaks, on the day of the game. They got to eat better than everybody else. People kind of pampered them, but it wasn't as bad. Now, these guys, they got their pro careers planned before they're 18.
Yeah, I don't think that was going on in Albuquerque. I don't think a lot of those guys thought they were going to break out into the pros. I don't know. I'd like to see that movie. What's that movie on?
Friday Night Lights.
Did you see
it? Oh, Friday Night Lights.
No, I didn't see it.
Because the guy who directed that, Pete Berg, I lived with him briefly, actually, in Los Angeles.
how'd that happen?
In a straight sort of way.
No, of course, yeah. No, when I first got out to Los Angeles, I was my buddy from college, Steve Brill, who, you know, he did the Mighty Ducks and he did a lot of the Sandler movies.
Yeah.
I moved in with him and he was buddies with Pete Berg, and at some point Pete Berg was moved into our apartment, and then I had to sleep on the couch, which means, you know, I don't like Pete Berg that much just for putting me out on the couch. And that, well, I used to hate those guys too, actually, if I was to really think about it, because those guys, like, I just got into Hollywood, and that was like, what, 86? I was out there for a year before I hit the wall and had to run home and try and figure out who I was again. But, these guys, they were the kind of guys, like, I was the new guy, right? But they didn't integrate me into their plans. But they bring people home to party, and I'd be on the couch, you know, sleeping with my little blankie. You know,
oh,
they'd be
my
like,
God.
Hey, Maren, come on, we got girls. I'm like, my underpants. You know, like, I'd have to, like, they'd bring this party home, they'd kick on the stereo, and I'd be sitting there, like, you know, with the blanket, like, with all these people partying around me. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous and sad. How did I become this guy?
Wow.
That didn't last
long. That necessitated a trip back to Albuquerque, I guess.
No, that was before I moved into the house behind the Comedy Store. And what necessitated the trip back to Albuquerque was that I was hearing voices in my head from sleep deprivation and cocaine abuse. And then I started to realize, like, hey, I was just sitting there waiting for one of them to tell me to go home.
go on, get out.
No, those are the good old days. Hey, don't eat on the mic, Mark.
Well,
come on,
actually,
you're still
yesterday
on the air.
Was my anniversary.
I'm talking to me, not you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good. I just tell myself not to eat as I eat okay. On the mic. What?
Yesterday was my 12th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So that's why you're tired.
Yeah, I had an early morning surprise.
Oh, man.
It was cool. It was very nice.
An early morning surprise. I was looking for a sound effect that might work.
You don't have one of those.
Good morning, Mark Riley.
Yeah.
You can use that for
it
anything.
Was your life? No, it was a lot of fun. We went and had brunch, and you know, just it was an enjoyable weekend. I got my wife a ring. She got me a TV with a DVD player installed in it. So
you got a DVD player in the TV, a little thing, like
yeah,
a little
like
one?
A 13-inch TV with a DVD player.
Not the kind you can bring on the airplane.
No.
So what did I do? I did comedy, and I cooked a big, you know what's sad is that, because, you know, my wife obviously is in Los Angeles, and I'm at home, and I, you know, I wanted to eat some cioppino, which is that seafood soup that you get in San Francisco, so yeah. I found a recipe, and I'm all alone, and then just because I wanted to have a bowl of cioppino, I made a $40 vat of soup.
Because there's no vat?
Yeah, because you can't just make a little bit of it because you got to put scallops and a whole crab in there and clams and fish.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had to make the whole thing and freeze some of it. And now is this pathetic? I did some comedy and the comedy was good. I'm building some new stuff. I hadn't done the improv here in New York. It's a pretty good room. It's up in Midtown.
Yeah.
Underground. But it was all pretty good. And I, you know, hung out with some young comics. That's another sad thing about not having my wife here is that late at night, if I'm still awake, I don't have anywhere to go if I want to hang out with people. So I end up hanging out with these 22, 23-year-old comics. So, dude, what should I do, man? I'm, like, sitting there holding court realizing that I have no idea what you should do. I can't look at me. What do I do? Do you see me on my own television show? Granted, I have a radio show that none of you listen to because you're living in the lives of comics.
Yeah.
But don't use me as some barometer for success, for God's sakes. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Can't you tell them, like, as they come home to turn us on?
Sure, I think some of them.
Yeah, 5, 6 o'clock. Some of them are just stumbling in now.
Yeah, but some of them just aren't radio people. That's what I realize about people when they haven't heard of Air America. It's not because, you know, they don't know about it. They don't know about anything. They don't listen to the radio. Some people aren't radio people.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people, either they don't do it in their homes, they don't have cars or whatever. So, yeah, they don't listen to the radio at all.
Yeah. Let's take a break, and we're going to talk about the CIA. A lot of inner turmoil in the CIA. We got
a mess in the
Ben
CIA.
Laden stuff. Oh, yeah, but most importantly, it looks like we got Babak Dagan Pache coming up from, he's actually embedded with the American troops in Fallujah, so that should be an interesting conversation. So we'll talk to you on the other side of this break, 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion. Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work, courtesy of Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Don't let the cable shark raise your rates. Switch to DirecTV today.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-264-0071.
At $4.99 a month for second and each adjustment received. Offer ends 2-28-05. Call now.
For just 45 cents a day, you can have 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal delivered to your home or office every business day. That's just 45 cents a day for the insights, analysis, and news relevant to the business of your life. Every business day, the Wall Street Journal delivers the top news from every market, industry, and corner of the globe. But because life isn't just business, the Journal's innovative personal journal section translates today's news into the useful information you need to save time and money. From scoring travel discounts to better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 55% off the Journal's newsstand price when you order an 8-week subscription for just 45 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Don't miss out. Call 800-889-1001. That's 800-889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Don't go in the paint. He's a giant. That's where he lives. He owns it. Offense and defense. Boards, screens, picks and rolls. How can he move that quickly? Man, he's got fast feet for a big guy. Shots up. Erased. Swatted to his point guard waiting on the wing. Easy score. Don't go in the paint.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
This is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more and do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be. And exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is, you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Pass past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm eating nuts and berries. I've got to kick the M&M habit, Riley.
Okay, Mr. Thoreau.
I got to kick it, man. I got to kick the M&M habit. Everything's different today, Kalo. Everything's different, you guys. You know,
I'm trying to get off of coffee. I drank water this morning.
Well, let's not go crazy.
Hey, man. It's time to make change.
Yeah, but coffee, I got to have that. I got to have the coffee. But the M&M's and Dunkin' Donuts coffee are different. I went out and bought some Nescafe.
Why can't you eat M&M's?
Because I'm an anorexic girl inside, and I have to make sure my metrosexual body stays sleek in this day and age. I'm 41 years old. I have this horrendous fear of waking up one morning and looking in the mirror and going, oh, my God, when did I turn into an old man? I don't want to get fat.
Do you want to know the exact date and time? Because I can tell you.
No. Well, you already know. It already happened? Did it happen on the air? Should I know about it? I want to know. You know, it scares me. Because, like, now that, you know, my wife and I don't see each other that much, mm-hmm. you know, maybe once or twice a month, and because she's significantly younger than me, you know, I was kind of banking on having her around so she didn't notice I was getting old. But you never know if it happens while we're away. Like, let's say there's a two-week period where, like, that one day, that was the day I got old. And she's not here, and then she shows up, she goes, what the hell happened to my husband?
Well, no, you know what'll happen?
What?
Because I know Mishan is a good person.
Yeah.
What she'll do is look at you like a stranger for a fraction of a second.
Yeah, and then
Before recognition kicks in, she'll look at you like, damn, you're old. And then, oh, hi, honey.
Whoa, yeah, no, I don't need that. She already does
that. Trust me, that happens. It happens. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I don't know. Be afraid of that moment happening and stress myself out about it and constantly worry about things?
You can call Dick Clark.
Why aren't we talking about the issue?
We're
fighting for our lives here still, but we're fighting for our lives at a more elongated pace.
Yeah.
We now have to fight for
we
our lives.
Stretch out and fight
for
our lives.
Yeah, we're fighting for our lives over a 4-year stretch now, not a... You know. There's not a 6-month crunch period of fighting for our lives.
Well, yeah, because we started paying attention to some of the commercials on the network where they talk about hair loss and what's the other one? Weight loss and everything is
maybe
lost.
Working in my brain. It's just working in my brain. Well, I just realized it. Like, you know, I can't. You know, the sugar and the caffeine, when you're on our schedule, all you want to do is eat sugar and drink coffee.
Yeah,
and
true.
I can do it all day long.
I can't do it anymore, man. I'm changing.
Well, that's because, you know, you're really old, and and you got to worry about your arteries clogging up and whatnot,
yeah,
right?
Make sure that kind of stuff.
Diabetes, the ticker's still good. I'm starting to worry about diabetes. I got some diabetes in my... This is a sad conversation, but it's an important conversation. I don't know if it's genetic, like baldness or what, but, you know, apparently you can give yourself diabetes if you eat too much sugar. Is that true?
Is it?
I thought that, like, if you're predisposed to it, and as you get older, they have late-onset diabetes.
Yeah. If you're predisposed to it and you don't watch your intake,
sugar?
Yeah, I think then you can give yourself diabetes.
Oh, my God. So much to worry about. But you know what? Here's
well, you need to. You do Splenda, so you ain't got to worry about sugar.
God forbid they find something bad about Splenda. Yeah, because it's so funny how they calibrate that stuff. Like Sweet and Low, for years I didn't eat Sweet and Low because I knew that it's making my mother retarded. Like I have a feeling that my mother is like starting the slow descent into NutraSweet induced dementia. But I'm not gonna, you know what I mean? She's probably listening.
Yeah, she's gonna call.
You know what's hilarious? Remember when I talked about her taking me to the store last week and
asked her
for the husky pants? And I said, here I am, this little fat kid. My mom, my stunning mother's got to take me in and ask for the husky pants because my son is fat. Also, she called me last. She called me that day, and she goes, "I didn't know you thought I was stunning." That's all she got out of that. Not that she was a horrendous mother who ruined my head for the rest of my life, but all she heard was like, "Oh, he thinks I'm stunning." I wish I loved him properly.
Oh, mom's is gonna be great. She may have stopped the Pilates just to make this score.
I'm sure she's out there on the boardwalk running right now with her headphone on, smiling because it doesn't matter what I say that's bad about her. She's like, Mark, I just like that you're talking about me, but be nice. Her and the Skiddly Bop Jazz guy. Skiddly Bop Bop. How you doing? Nice to hear you chirping away on the AM. So now let's try and talk about some news now that we've wasted. It's not a waste. This is entertainment.
That's right.
There's no wasting time. We're on a slow burn here. So... As a lot of our guests have said, a lot of the guys we've talked to who have either been in the CIA, Robert Baer, and I guess Larry Korb was not in the CIA, but some of the other cats we talked to, foresaw that there was going to be some shakeup.
Yes.
And it's happening.
It's happening, and it's very, very troublesome. Apparently, Porter Gotz has come in with his own crew. And now, by the way, this happens in corporate America every day. This is not all that unusual. Porter Gotz, the new head of the CIA, has come in. He's brought in his own people. One of his own people is a guy named Murray, who apparently has managed to alienate virtually all the in-house clandestine operators inside the agency.
Right, and there's speculation that this was intentional, that George Bush sent Porter Gotz in, and Porter Gotz sent his guy in specifically to get rid of the guys that the White House sees as disloyal to the White House's agenda, or for leaking things, or for giving a misrepresentation, or what the White House thought to be a misrepresentation of what was really happening.
Yeah, Newsday has a story that says that the White House has told Porter Gotz to purge officers believed to have been disloyal to the president, leaking information to the media about the Iraq War and the hunt for Osama bin Laden. The first person to go, apparently, is a guy named Stephen Kappas, who's the deputy director of clandestine services.
Yeah.
Now, he apparently got into a beef with this guy, Patrick Murray, who's Gotz's chief of staff.
Okay.
And tendered his resignation after that beef, but at the behest of the White House, he delayed the decision about resigning until today. Now, several published reports say that it really doesn't matter, that the White House does want to get rid of this guy, Kappas, and they want Gotz to bring in people who I guess are going to toe the administration's ideological line. Now, remember that Porter Gotz took this gig when he took the job. He said, I am not going to turn this into a partisan situation, which apparently is exactly what he's ended up doing.
What is the party line at this point, that there are still weapons of mass destruction that might be found in Iraq? I mean, the reason this shakeup is taking place is because they bullied the CIA to give them the information that they wanted to justify the case for war, and all of it, you know, turned out to be hokum.
Yeah. Now, John McLaughlin on Friday, John McLaughlin, you may remember, was the 32-year guy, the magician, who was head of the CIA for 2 months. He retired. He announced that he's retiring, and he said this was unrelated to the Kappas resignation or problems inside of the CIA. But there are still questions about whether the White House felt that Kappas was one of the disloyal CIA officials.
Well, we can hear from one of the disloyal ones after this. We've got his name used to be anonymous, but now it's Michael Scheuer.
Scheuer, yeah, former head of the Bin Laden unit. And he's got some pretty tough things to say. He was on 60 Minutes last night. We'll get to that. We got the Palm Pilot. We got the liberal agenda. We got so much stuff. We don't know what to do. This is Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives $1 towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
Serious. Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN, your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought you'd like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Babe? Hey,
whoa. Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Bill emailed wanting to know if he can negotiate with a sofa he wants. I'll help him after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Bill emailed, needing negotiation help. Dave, do you think you can get something for less, even if the item is on sale? There's a sofa I'm looking at, and it's on sale. Can I ask to get it at a lower price?
Can you ask?
Yes, you can ask.
Will they give it to you at a lower price?
I don't know.
They for sure won't, unless you ask. And if you do ask, they will not get mad and not sell you the sofa.
Oh, that woman asked for less? Just the sale's off. We're not going to sell it to her.
It's never happened. Just go in there and you say, yep. And I would do it with $100 bills, by the way. Just spread some $100. I mean, I don't know what they're asking for the sofa. Maybe it's a $2,000 sofa on sale for $1,500. Why don't you spread a 10 $100 bills or 11 $100 bills and say, I've got my furniture budget. That's all I've got in it. If you want to sell it, it's sold. Right there's the money. Will they take it? I don't know. But play with it a little. Have some fun. They're certainly having fun taking your money now. Ask every time.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Pure entertainment from coast to coast. Sirius.
Sirius.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
And I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
I don't know that if Air America had started 4 years ago, if it would have made a difference. In 4 years from now, when we come to the next presidential election, we're going to have 3, 4, 5 times as many stations as we have now.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Hey, it's 34 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
This is Morning Sedition. We are covering, right now we're talking about the CIA and the problems within the structure of the CIA, that the Bush administration is purging people out of the CIA because they won't toe the party line, or else they didn't toe the party line and weren't willing to be coerced or bullied by this administration into giving them information, which is what George Tenet did, and he took the fall. And now they're really going to clean house and make it the super secret agency that will completely appease the administration.
It looks like there's at least one report, Mark, that says there may be a raft of resignations this morning.
Yeah, and obviously Ramon or Ray-Ray.
Ray-Ray, hopefully he's not one of them.
Well, it makes me a little suspicious because he sent a stand-in today, you know.
Oh, that wasn't him?
No, it was the guy who was just wearing his hat. I mean, you were talking to Gelman, so
yeah.
I mean... But he has been able to get his other Palm Pilots other than the president. This is Dick Cheney's today. 7 a.m., wake up. Ask Lynn whether I died over the weekend and this is hell. Also have inquiries made. If I did die and this is hell, would Lynn tell me? 7:30 a.m. Breakfast, oatmeal with extra oat bran, wheatgrass juice, bowl of pills, no butter, no salt, no bacon. This is hell, and Lynn didn't tell me. 10 a.m. Get on remote controls during president's meeting with veterans group. Now that the election is over and it won't make any difference, make the president talk like Rip Taylor and have his arms flail around like Kermit on the Muppet Show. 3 p.m. Meet with ambassador from Zoltan Nebula 4 and allow him to harvest the population of Maine for his nutrition and obscene pleasures. In exchange, receive more vast amounts of wealth, which I can continue to pay my way out of debt. 7 p.m. Watch the news. Using only brainwaves and angry thoughts, see if I can make the anchorman's face melt away. 10 p.m. Bedtime. Get back in bed with Halliburton.
Wow.
So what's CBS 60 Minutes interview with this guy,
Michael Scheuer.
What is that? There was a couple of heavy beats there, man.
Well, yeah, and remember, now, we talked to the guy before, you know, everybody knew his name. He was just anonymous back then. He was the author of the book Imperial...
Hubris.
I think it's
one of those ones you can say a couple different ways.
Yeah.
You can say hubris, and I think you can say homage or homage.
Homage,
Schwarzen. That was one of the... That was he just informed me that he was wrong. Why don't you say that to everybody in America?
Yeah.
Why don't you come
in here on the mic?
Why doesn't Larson get in here and say, this is great, look at all, everyone who works here is like smiling in some weird way.
Yeah, come on, drip some steam.
Yeah, what do you say, Clutch Larson?
Chris, are you rolling on this?
Yeah.
Okay, this way you can use it again in the future. Ready?
Yeah.
Everyone quiet now so it's clean for future use.
Drum roll? Wait a minute, is there a drum?
I was wrong.
Oh no!
That's tremendous. That is tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's celebration everywhere.
And don't come back until you've redeemed yourself.
I've never seen the look of P.W. McDonald in the booth of real happiness, not just laughing, but there was actually a real moment of happiness that came across his face. This is an unbelievable moment.
Pashman's probably dancing down the aisle here.
Pashman, yeah, he probably, I mean, this is as big as the first lunar landing. You don't understand what we've just gone through as a show here.
Yes.
And he was wrong. There's no doubt about that. But it was a great moment. Do I really need to relish in it? I remember after I said homage, I said homage.
Homage.
And Larson comes in with that little look on his face. I think it's homage. And I go, no, I'm pretty sure I can pronounce it homage. And he goes, I don't know, I'll check. And he was wrong. Anyways, let's get back
to that. How wrong is Porter Gus? Well, anyway, that's a whole different story.
But this guy, Sawyer, it was very frightening what he said. And in talking about this, there's really no time for them to be having skirmishes among themselves and all this shakeup, because it's pretty clear with what he was saying that, you know, Al-Qaeda is still a threat, that bin Laden is still a pretty a big dude to be worried about. And, you know, without saying that it was a failure of this president not getting bin Laden, he did make it sound like they do not prioritize this like they should, and like they said they would. This is the guy that killed 3,000 Americans.
You know, it's funny. Scheuer seems to be saying that the American government did not take Osama bin Laden seriously, that they profiled him in one way when, in fact, he's someone else. Now, mind you, this is not some guy blowing smoke. This was the guy who headed the bin Laden unit at the CIA. He just resigned from the CIA the other day. It was unusual. The agency actually let him publish a book while he was in the agency's employ, but they did that. But let's hear him on 60 Minutes talk about Osama bin Laden.
I think our leaders over the last decade have done the American people a disservice in continuing to characterize Osama bin Laden as a thug, as a gangster, as a degenerate personality, as some kind of an aberrant individual. He surely does reprehensible activities, and we should surely take care of that by killing him as soon as we can. But he's not an irrational man. He's a very worthy enemy. He's an enemy to worry about.
You wrote in your book that he's a great man.
Yes, certainly a man. Well, without the connotation good or bad, he's a great man in the sense that he's influenced the course of history.
You respect him.
Until we respect him, sir, we're going to die in numbers that are probably unnecessary.
Just the way he said, until we respect him, sir, that kind of is like, whoa, that makes you. And the truth of the matter is, Riley, I think that given the state of the CIA and given their anger towards this president, I mean, I think it's pretty understandable why they let him publish a book. I mean, it's weird when even as a person who's to the left, there were periods like during the last year, you know, before this horrendous debacle, you know, of the reelection, where I was sort of hoping the CIA would take him down from the inside. Not, I mean, not in the sense of assassination, but at least give out enough information that would discredit the president to the degree that would have been necessary to really make him fall. And I don't know, you know, in retrospect. You know,
I think that may have been on a few minds over there.
Oh, absolutely.
CIA. I think that this is something they may have thought about. But, you know, there is a point at which people will say, well, that's not the professional thing to do. As a professional CIA operative or officer, you're supposed to do certain. You're not supposed to be partisan. Again, Porter Goss came into this saying he was not going to turn the Office of Central Intelligence into a partisan political operation. Yet, we see these people, you know, fighting with each other apparently in the hallways. This guy Patrick Murray and several of the other people that are around Porter Goss apparently is the nub of the problem here. Kappas said he would resign rather than fire Michael Sulik,
yeah,
who directly challenged Murray's authority. Apparently, Sulik got up in Murray's face. Murray then said to Kappas, fire your boy. Kappas said, no, I'll quit before I'll fire this guy.
So Murray's the new hatchet man.
Murray is the new hatchet man.
For Goss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that sneeze felt good. I'm sorry to do that on the air.
That's okay.
I was sort of half waiting for another one. You know where you get excited, you have the one sneeze, and then you just feel that little tickle in your nose, and you're like, ah, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come. So now I'm in that weird limbo of not sneezing but still having the tickle.
Hopefully.
You'll know.
Don't worry. It'll be fine. Just don't hit me with anything.
I'm not going to hit you with anything. I'm not going to do that. So we're going to talk to Babak Daganpache.
Oh, we are?
Yes, he is on the phone. We thought we were going to lose him to a press conference in Fallujah, but he is on the phone. He is embedded with the Americans, the American military in Fallujah, and he is on the phone with us after this. It's 42 past the hour, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Ask your doctor if Morning Sedition is right for you. Then listen anyway. Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down?
Your customers complaining?
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone or go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, I hate you, you're the worst mom in the world. Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
I had this great DJ spinning. He's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up, and I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling, too. Friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. And she starts convulsing, and call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we're all...
Ecstasy. It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 47 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
On the phone with us, joining us from Baghdad, is Newsweek's Baghdad correspondent. He's just outside Fallujah. He was embedded. He is no longer embedded. He was embedded with the 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines. And he is Babak Daganpache. Babak, what's it like there now? Is most of the fighting over?
It does appear that way. It does appear that most of the fighting has tapered off. The peak days seem to be on Friday and Saturday, where there was a lot of heavy fighting. And a field hospital that I was just at yesterday received a lot of casualties on those days. But by yesterday, that had dropped off significantly.
We have a report that 38 American soldiers were killed. Has that changed? And how many civilians and insurgent Iraqi casualties were there, in your knowledge?
Well, those are the latest figures that we have also, and, you know, it's really tough to get estimates of the number of insurgents killed, and definitely even more difficult to pinpoint the number of civilians killed. The area that I went through with this particular Marine unit was largely deserted, and there were signs that the civilians had actually packed up a good while before the U.S. military forces went in. Some of the houses that the Marines broke down to go and search inside, you know, there were clear signs that the families had packed their goods into a certain room to, you know, really pack things up and move on out.
But we've heard about estimates of about 1,000 insurgents killed, yet we saw a report, I saw a report earlier today, that said that as the Marines are going through Fallujah, they're finding surprisingly small numbers of insurgent bodies. Does that imply, first of all, is that true? And if so, does it imply that the insurgents are moving their own dead and wounded?
I honestly can't tell you what the answer to that question is. That was definitely a very puzzling thing as we were moving through, because we also saw very, very few bodies. You know, there was definitely heavy fighting, so there were a lot of enemy fighters, a lot of insurgents around, you know, attacking the Marines with, you know, small arms fire, with rockets, with mortars and everything. So they were definitely there, but in terms of what happened to the bodies, whether they came out and collected them and buried them, or whether the actual number of them killed is less than estimated, it's really difficult to say at this point.
What about the reports that are coming out of Al Jazeera and now some of the American wire services that the U.S. troops are preventing aid to get in to assist some of the civilian casualties in Fallujah? Is there any truth to that?
I'm not sure how accurate that is. I mean, definitely the U.S. military does have a very tight cordon around the city to prevent anybody from getting out. Now, whether they're actually preventing aid from getting in, I really don't know. I do know that the military has told us the Fallujah General Hospital has been opened and is in service. They supplied it with equipment, and the doctors and the full staff are there, and that they've been going through passing out flyers and making radio announcements that anybody that needs help should go there. So, you know, again, in terms of aid being blocked, I honestly couldn't tell you.
But, Beck, once the hostilities cease, my guess is someone would be responsible for trying to get the electricity back on in Fallujah and bringing back the infrastructure. Who is going to be responsible for that, and are they up to the job?
Well, I think the military is actually going to shoulder that burden early on, and then perhaps some of the private contractors, the foreign contractors, or even Iraqi local contractors will step in. When we were getting briefings prior to the attack, the different phases that the military commanders, you know, sort of laid out for us, it was very clear that after the initial combat phase, they clearly planned on going in very quickly to restore those services like electricity and water.
So, Bebek, is this the operation? Do you think that Fallujah is now a done deal? And, you know, and how is it going to affect the overall picture in Iraq? Because it seems like there's battling going on in many other cities. And you know, some apparently we've got reports that conflict has erupted in Mosul. What's the trajectory? What do you see?
Well, that's the difficult question, I guess. Looking ahead, you know, it's very likely that the U.S. military will, at the very least, occupy the territory, and those are sort of the terms the U.S. military commanders are using. But, you know, it would be impossible to say that the city is going to be completely free of insurgents. And again, the broader point is, what effect did this attack have on the insurgents at large? I mean, it does seem that a lot of them have scattered to other areas, Mosul, as you mentioned, and there have been some troubles in Ramadi and areas north of Baghdad also. So was this some kind of, you know, a significant blow, a death blow to the insurgents? It's really too early to say that, and indications would be that no, because the fighting has spread to these other cities.
Babak, how have the Iraqi security forces held up through all this? There are about, from what we understood, somewhere in the order of 2,000 Iraqis who were fighting alongside the Americans in retaking Fallujah. We'd heard that there were some desertions and that sort of thing, but overall, how have they done?
Well, the unit that this Marine unit that I went out with did have a handful of Iraqi special forces with them. You know, they did fight with definitely alongside the Marines, but I didn't really see them being given you know, very important responsibilities and tasks. And again, it could have been just because there weren't that many of them. I think the plan had been from the get-go that the U.S. forces would really go through and make the initial push through the city, and then the responsibility to sort of come in as a follow-on force and clear out buildings and, you know, sort of ease the civilians into getting back into the city is really what is being given to the Iraqi forces at this point.
Is there any real communication or dare I say, camaraderie between American Marines and these Iraqi National Security Force guys?
Well, I would just really have to draw from my own experience, and the Marines that I was embedded with, they really had a difficult time with the group of Iraqi National Guard that they were with, because they suspected a lot of them of collaborating with insurgents. But they did have a very good relationship with the Iraqi Special Forces, who are generally sort of higher caliber. They're not these young guys that have been recruited from the local area, and they have performed better in this operation. So it sort of varies, and, you know, there's no clear-cut answer to that, I think.
So the members of the Iraqi, not just the standard grunt Iraqi National Guard guys, but the guys who are in the higher operations, they develop a certain amount of trust with them on their performance in the battles, I guess.
Definitely. These Iraqi special forces, I think there seem to be a fair bit of camaraderie. The the Americans had, you know, the Marines had gone out on a fair number of patrols with them and trusted them. But, you know, again, in my case, what I saw was that the group they didn't really trust was the Iraqi National Guard.
Mm-hmm. Babak, there have been, again, numerous reports here that linked the Fallujah operation to the legitimacy of the Alawi government. Given what's gone on so far, has this been a net plus for Alawi?
It's, I think, a little too early to say. I think, you know, some of the Sunni groups, particularly one called the Association of Muslim Scholars, have spoken out and then called for a mass boycott of the January elections. Now, whether that is actually going to be a blow to Alawi's government and you know, the political process that comes after, it's hard to say. But my feeling is things have changed. You know, back in April, there really was a very big outcry from ordinary Iraqis about this operation because they got the sense that a lot of civilians were being killed. But sort of 6 months, 7 months on, there have been so many bomb attacks, so many terrorist attacks in and around Iraq, and ordinary Iraqis have seen a lot of civilians being killed. So I think some of the maybe sympathy that they had for these groups that they saw as possibly nationalistic has drained away. So, you know, Iraqis, I think, to some extent, they were happy with the fact that this was going to get done quickly, if possible.
Final quick question, Babak. We see that the leading Shiite cleric, Ali al-Sistani, has condemned both the insurgents and the United States forces. Do you expect him to keep that same position, yes or no?
Well, the statement that I saw from him on the Fallujah operation was actually relatively mild. It wasn't a very sort of stinging condemnation, and that's sort of the position he's kept throughout. I think he's very pragmatic and realizes that you know, these things do need to be taken care of, and you know, did not really step in a big way this time.
Thank you very much, Babak Taganpache, for joining us, and be careful.
Thanks, Babak.
Thank you.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
It's interesting about the numbers of insurgents that you were talking about, that they're reporting an approximate number of insurgents that were killed, yet they don't have bodies to sort of, you know, qualify that number.
The bodies are gone.
And also, we don't know how many civilians were involved. It's very, you know, the numbers of Americans that are killed and are fairly specific in all these reports, but casualties, we don't really get specific numbers, nor do we get specific numbers on Iraq casualties.
Very true.
I wonder if we're going to ever get those. Well, there's the liberal agenda in a big shifting of the gears. From the Streisand compound, here are your marching orders for today. 1, urge Bush to appoint not just black cabinet members, but really black cabinet members who would accuse other black cabinet members of being too white. 2, really try to remember who John Kerry was or even what he looked like. 3, suggest that MoveOn.org change its name to StayHereAndSulk.org. 4, use the election as a catch-all excuse such as, hey man, I couldn't possibly help you move. I mean, not with that madman in the White House. I mean, come on. Phrase of the day, just drop it in a conversation. Let's produce another movie lampooning the lifestyles of and values in the red states. That'll make them come around. How about that, man?
Yeah, right. In the next hour of Morning Tradition, we got Larry Johnson, former CIA officer. He's going to talk about all this mess that's going on, a lot more here on Air America Radio.
Hello. This is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Compromise off, serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. If you're an officer of the Central Intelligence Agency and wish continued employment, it pays not to have an opposing point of view. Published report indicates the White House wants to purge the agency of any officer not towing the company line. White House has ordered former Republican Congressman and now CIA Chief Porter Goss to do the house cleaning. President is said to be particularly concerned about those sending out damaging information to the media about the conduct of war in Iraq and a hunt for Osama bin Laden, this according to knowledgeable sources. White House directive comes on the heels of last week's dismissal of one-time bin Laden expert Michael Scheuer, who was the subject of a 60 Minutes piece last night. No surprise here, the deputy director of the CIA, John McLaughlin, has tendered his resignation. His retirement from the agency after 32 years was expected. He served as acting director for 2 months following the departure earlier this year by George Tenet. McLaughlin recently warned the new chief, Porter Goss, that his top aide, former Capitol Hill staff member Patrick Murray, was treating senior officers disrespectfully and risked widespread resignations at the agency. Members of Congress and intelligence agencies were sharply criticized by lawmakers over the weekend because of the apparent impasse to approve legislation implementing a series of recommendations from the 9/11 Commission. Democratic Congresswoman Jane Harman of the House Intelligence Committee called Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as a major obstacle. Harman says Rumsfeld does not want to dismiss the Pentagon's overwhelming control over intelligence agencies' budget. Harman told a broadcast interview yesterday that the CIA seems to be in a free fall in Washington, which she described as a bad omen in the middle of a war. 38 more American soldiers will not be returning to the United States the way they left. U.S. military confirmed yesterday that all 38 died in a week-long offensive to recapture the Iraqi city of Fallujah. Some 275 American soldiers were wounded. Still more, some 60 of the wounded had already returned to duty. More than 10,000 Americans and 2,000 Iraqis participated in the assault in a bid to pacify the nation in preparation for the impending elections. The military says 1,000 insurgents were killed in a well-publicized offensive. Beheading chambers, bomb-making factories, and even one Iraqi hostage. That's what Marines sweeping through Fallujah say they found. They say it's evidence the city's role in the insurgent campaign to drive American forces from Iraq. So far, U.S. troops have only found two hostages, one Iraqi and one Syrian. Syrian was driver for two French journalists missing since August. Troops have attacked the bunker complex in southern Fallujah, where they discovered a network of steel-reinforced tunnels filled with weapons. American officials say it could take several more days of fighting before the city is secured. Military still hasn't positively identified the mutilated body of a woman found in Fallujah on Sunday. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
College Rivalry Saturday heats up this weekend on Sirius Sports. The Gators take on the Seminoles for bragging rights in the state of Florida. The Buckeyes play host to Michigan. The Tigers and Crimson Tide rock Alabama. And Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt. When these teams get together, it ain't about the standings or the BCS. It's all about the pride. Hear all the action this Saturday on Sirius Sports. For game times and channels, go to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
This is Earth and Sky. Deep in the ancient forests of the Pacific Northwest, you might find a spotted owl.
Until 1990, when these owls were listed as endangered, many scientists feared that logging would cause their extinction. Spotted owls are very territorial, and each pair uses many large ancient trees. The trees utilized by one pair of owls have an estimated value of about $8 million.
Rocky Gutierrez at the University of Minnesota studies these owls. He said spotted owls can't be moved to forests with less commercially valuable trees because they've evolved under very precise environmental conditions.
People think that why can't the owl adapt? I mean, they have wings, why can't they fly someplace else? It's the complexity or the structure of the forest that's the key issue for an owl inhabiting that site. That is, there are multi-layers in the canopy which provides a lot of shading, provides a lot of perches, and when you get that high canopy closure, it reduces the amount of understory or shrubs in the forest so that the under part of the forest is easy for the owl to fly through.
For more with Rocky Gutierrez, come to earthsky.org. Thanks to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated, the birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. This is not your outrage clearinghouse. Good morning, Mark Riley. How are you?
Is it my outrage clearing out?
Sure, if you got something on your mind, let it go.
No, I have
let
no
it
outrage.
Out.
I have no outrage.
Come on.
No, it's gone.
Come on.
It's gone, man. I'm a mellow 50-something guy who's, you know, married, happily married, doesn't engage in any skullduggery. I did all of that when I was young.
I've got a lot of outrage.
You got outrage?
Yeah, but it can go either way. It can be outrage. It could be self-pity. It can be self-flagellation, self-hatred. It sort of maneuvers and kind of meanders.
Veers
around.
Back and forth and around. I am sad today. I will say that.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, for the passing of ODB.
Old Dirty Bastard is gone.
Is gone. A.K.A. Russell Jones from Staten Island,
yes.
Also known as Shaolin, Staten Island, New York.
Also known as Kalo Town.
Kalo Town, that's right. Well, you know, ODB was one of those guys, I think, because he came to public attention so many times for getting busted for so many offenses. I mean, I remember when ODB got busted for wearing a bulletproof vest when it was illegal in California for convicted felons to wear a bulletproof vest. I mean, it's like, yo, is there anything else you can get busted for?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, he was always going. Now, and the thing is, he was never one of those really malicious kind of.
I bought, I can't remember which album I bought, but when I saw him once on MTV or something, I'm like, this dude is hilarious.
Yeah.
And like, he was one of the great rap clowns, and he was so weird, he had his own time zone, that guy. You just look at me like, what is going on with that guy?
Well,
you
see, it wasn't just him. The Wu-Tang Clan themselves,
yeah,
and their entire persona, I think, spoke to the fact that they all came up on Staten Island, which is a place that has very few black people, in case people haven't noticed this.
But anybody who comes from Staten Island's a little off.
Oh, wait a minute now. Hold it. You got
tell me I'm wrong, Taylor. No, it's true, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. You got Mr. Shaolin over here.
So you're saying to me that the Wu-Tang Clan came from Staten Island, which is already its own world, and they had to create a world within a world to escape from that. So
yeah.
It was almost like a superhero universe, the Wu-Tang Clan. Am I right?
Well, yeah. And see, but what people don't understand about growing up in a place like Staten Island is that there are always places that you're supposed to be and always places that you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
If you're black and you live on Staten Island, and Kalo, thank you very much for sharing this with us, you either live in Stapleton, Port Richmond, West Brighton, or Park Hill. That's
right.
Where you live.
Right.
If they catch you someplace else, it's like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be.
They're going
to
assume you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And see, I think that Wu-Tang created their own universe in response to that.
But they had, like, everything. Didn't they have hats and magic signals and all
Wu-wear.
Kinds?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
Wu-wear.
Had, like, the whole thing.
They had the whole thing.
Like Kung Fu Flying Stars.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang insignia on them.
And, I mean, ODB was only 35 years.
How did that happen, dude?
I mean, he was in a recording studio. He was directly across town from here. He was on West 34th Street. We're on East 34th.
I guess we'll find out what happened. And he had, like, didn't he have, like, 90 kids or something? Like,
yeah, he had a
biblical number of kids.
Yeah,
that guy?
He was a prodigious the father of our country. I don't know. He did, but in fairness, he took care of, as far as I know, all of them.
Yeah, I heard him on the radio yesterday. Some of them were talking, and they were very, they were upset and warm. It didn't seem, there was no bitterness that I heard. Like,
no, there's never any bitterness
around. Like, ODB. Oh, dirty bastard was a bastard. I don't want, you know.
No, no. Now, in honor of ODB, we're going to play just a little snippet of something that'll show you, I think, his essence. Because you mentioned that he was kind of clownish in his own way, certainly in terms of the way he approached rap. But Wu-Tang had an impact and influenced a whole bunch of hip-hop artists, including and especially Eminem.
Yeah.
So this is our tribute to ODB, dead at the age of 35. Now you see that is.
Hold on, man. That's so deep. I gotta think about it for a few minutes.
That's ODB's twisted Rick James.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's ODB. Like, hey, man. I think I'm gonna do a little Rick James.
He's goofy, man. He's goofy.
Sorry. Rick James and ODB are kindred spirits.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. I mean, Rick James lived life on the edge, and I guess ODB on a certain level, although I don't think he would say this, but I think
Rick James lived life way over the edge.
Yeah, I know. And ODB did to an extent, too.
Rick James is in Planet Bad.
Now, ODB was supposedly working on another album, and what was ironic about this, the other day, I forgot exactly where I was, somewhere in Midtown Manhattan, and, you know, since the presidential race is over, and nobody's putting up vote or die signs anymore, apparently the street crews have gone back to what they do best, which is, of course, putting out flyers for hip-hop groups. Mm. And I saw a flyer for a new Wu-Tang Clan album.
Yeah.
And I looked, and I said, well, I wonder if ODB is listed, because, you know, they got a list of about 30 guys who contribute to the album.
You just saw this yesterday or day before yesterday?
This was on Friday.
Really? So that was one of those weird moments, a prescient moment, Mark Riley.
And
I hate when those things happen because they force me to realize that that there is some weird synchronicity thing out there. I kind of believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
More so than, it depends on how I'm feeling, but I'll know. Speaking of music, though, and speaking of one of the predecessors of rap music, I'm like, you know, knee deep in that new Dylan book.
Yeah, you've been talking about
it. Dude, at first I was like, wow, someone should have edited him a little bit. You know what I mean? He seems to be rambling. But now I'm like so hooked. Just like the way he's talking about what the village looked like in the early 60s and about who he used to respect and about just how like the histrionics of his music. So you kind of see the roots of where he drew all his stuff from and his insane respect for music. It's such a candid portrait of this guy. And like I'm a Dylan fan. I'm not a fanatic Dylan fan, but I mean, he's important to me. You know, and I just started reading this thing, and it was like, oh, my God, all these, like, things. Because I still work in the village. And I forget, like, sometimes because I'm a comedian, you see such crappy comedy. I've seen so many freaks come through the comedy world. You know, you get people that are just, like, their whole bit is, like, they're wearing a garbage bag. Or, you never know what, you know, or they play the spoons. It's just like a freak show.
They're one step away from doing that in the middle of Washington Square Park to whoever walks by.
Right. Well, you know, even in Los Angeles, when I used to, like, when the guys would line up to do the open mic at the comedy store, you'd see a guy wearing a chef's hat and, you know, with a spoon around his neck and be like, what's up with that? And that's his bit. Well, apparently, the village, like, he used to do a day show. Dylan used to play a day show at the Cafe Wall, which is right next to the comedy store, owned by the same people. I performed in there myself. But this was a day, during the day, a showcase show where, you know, like, guys like Tiny Tim and all these freaks, this one guy used to get up there in a trench coat and just, you know, pretend like he was preaching. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's never been different. You know what I mean? Like, you think, like, and now it's all watered down. No, there was always weird, talentless freaks that did this one thing over and over again until they just eventually disappeared or become huge stars.
Well, you know, the scary part was they all had an audience, because in those days, the Cafe Wa, in the middle of the day, you'd find dozens of people in there, because you could sit there for like 3 hours with one cup of coffee, which in those days cost about a dime.
Wow.
And you could sit there and read or whatever. Nobody ever bothered you.
How great.
great was that?
Yeah, it was.
And
it
now
was
all those 60s myths and all the stuff that he was talking about, the folk scene before it was the folk scene, like guys I never heard of, certainly. Mm-hmm. And just his respect for R&B and other pop music, and he has weird kindred relationships with like Bobby V and guys you would never think because they were from the Midwest. And it's just, it's really a mind-blowing thing because he's been such a cryptic guy for so many years. His very candid memoir. Hey, you want to give us a call? I guess we're kind of loose today. 866-303-2270 if you'd like to clear some of your outrage or share something you know or report something to us. Or
talk about ODB.
Sure, ODB, Bob Dylan. Whatever's on your mind. We're open. It's Monday and we're easing into it. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Call 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
College Rivalry Saturday heats up this weekend on Sirius Sports. The Gators take on the Seminoles for bragging rights in the state of Florida. The Buckeyes play host to Michigan. The Tigers and Crimson Tide rock Alabama. And Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt. When these teams get together, it ain't about the standings or the BCS. It's all about the pride. Hear all the action this Saturday on Sirius Sports. For game times and channels, go to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Good.
Sorry, you're not little. You're five. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer. Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those hedges?
Dad, please.
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here! You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. It's a morning's edition on Air America Radio. We're taking calls, 866-303-2270. We're talking about stuff and stuff. You know, stuff and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just kind of hanging out. That's all right, man. We can hang out. We can just hang out, right, Kayla?
Yeah.
Here's my dream from last night. It's kind of, this is sort of, this is an interesting one, really. I'm sitting at an intimate little cafe with someone special. You know, it was someone special, but it was vague. I couldn't quite make out who it was, but I knew that they were special. God, I wish I didn't have to do this. I breathe in deep, I let it out, and I say, look, I just want you to know that these last 12 months have meant a lot to me. She says, well, me too, Mark, and the next 12 months will be even better. And I say, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I think we should stop seeing each other. And she stared at me for a long time, and then the tears started coming. Finally, she said, it's me, isn't it? And I go, no, it's not you, it's me. Didn't we have some good times? Wasn't Iowa great and Boston? I said, of course we had times I'll never forget, but sometimes these things aren't meant to last. I mean, I can see this day coming. She said, was it the cheating? I said, yeah, partly, but I almost expected that. I just need some space, man. This has all gotten way too intense and too negative. And was there someone else? No, I may not get into something like this again for a long, long time. I'm just tired of the games and the lying, the constant messing with my head. I need to get off the roller coaster, you know what I'm saying? I know your heart was in the right place, and I know you were trying to do what was best for me, but you hurt me, all right? And now I need some time for me. We sat there quietly for a while, and then she said, well, we'll always have the fire truck. And I squeezed her hand and I said, yeah, we will always have the fire truck. And I stood up and I kissed her on the forehead and took one last look into her eyes. And God, she's beautiful. And then I walked out, and that's how I broke up with the 2004 elections. I hope someday we can be friends. I woke up and my bed was filled with rose petals. It's very touching. You know, okay, let's take some calls. I mean, there's other stuff I want to talk about, but let's do this. Sharon in Long Island listening to WLIB. Good morning, Sharon. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark and Mark. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just want to talk about my unsettled feeling I have from reading the paper this weekend about how Bush wants to get rid of all his disloyal people, the CIA.
Yeah.
I just feel like this is Nazi Germany happening all over again.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong in terms of the extremes that are possible in that metaphor, but certainly there is something going on in encouraging secrecy even more, and there's just you're scaring me, Sharon, but I think you might be right. There is something to say that if you start repressing the CIA like that and start, you know, cleaning house there, I mean, and they're the ones that gave us the information in the first place. I don't know what to make of it, Riley. What do you make of it?
I'll tell you what I make of it. It does not make me feel particularly safe about the ability to gather intelligence with regard to Al-Qaeda. When this kind of thing goes on, and when you have this kind of infighting, and when you hear a sitting, or when you hear reports, I shouldn't say hear a sitting president, when you hear reports that a sitting president is purging the intelligence agency not based on the quality of intelligence they've given you, but based instead on partisan political concerns and the issue of loyalty, it's time to be very effective.
Well, it just becomes, where's the integrity of the agency going to, how are you going to judge?
It doesn't have any. That's
exactly
what it boils down to. It's not going to have any.
They're already manufacturing information and twisting information that they want to use and putting it through the media machine so it serves their agenda. Now, if they just, you know, get all these guys on the same page and they can, why even have them go out? Why don't they just, the CIA just become like an advertising agency and just make stuff up?
Well, see, that is what some foreign operatives may start thinking. Remember, the CIA deals with international intelligence. Remember, too, that the people that cooperate with the CIA around the world also have access to American media, so they know all this stuff is going on. How willing would you be, Mark, if you were a French CIA operative, or more important, a Syrian CIA operative, somebody that the CIA was getting information
from?
Hold on,
let me try and get into character with that. Yeah. Right, so, okay, I'm a Syrian CIA guy. It's intense, it's uncomfortable,
you're
but I like my job.
You're actually a mole. You're somebody that passes information
okay,
to
that's
the
cool.
CIA.
Okay, I'm on the inside. I can speak the Syrian languages in many different dialects and Arabic. Okay, I got it. Okay, so
you
what?
Got it.
Yeah.
So now you're hearing about Porter Goss supposedly cleaning house in the agency, and remember that it is the Directorate of Operations where apparently Bush thinks most of these disloyal
people.
Right,
so now I'm starting to feel like they're leaving me hanging a little bit. Who's my boss?
Yeah.
What am I doing out here? I'm a little scared now. Is my am I still going to be safe undercover here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, saying it creates a very real problem. And, of course, in about 7-8 minutes or so, we're going to be talking with Larry Johnson, who's a former CIA case officer, about
Sharon,
what all this means.
Sharon, we'll ask him your question, and thanks for that horrific image. But
yeah.
I appreciate it. Neil in Alabama. Streaming. Alabama, I think that might be a first. How are you, Neil?
Hi, Neil.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm right dead center of the Bible Belt, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
yes, sir.
You
the
okay?
Only way to get you guys is through the Internet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they've got a lockdown on Air America.
Yeah.
Man, they got a lockdown on anything liberal here. I mean, you name it, it's locked down. There is no way to get to it.
So what's that feel like? Does it feel like you're in some sort of different world? I mean, I can't even imagine what it must feel like to be at even listening to us right now.
It's like talking to somebody from a different planet.
Wow.
It literally is. I mean, when you go out on the streets, I'm from Pell City, okay?
Yeah.
And, these people are, now I'm going to be honest, these people are good people in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But they don't see the obvious things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they got these blinders on. You know how they have these horses with the two things on?
Sure.
They can see, just what they call it, tunnel vision?
Yeah. Yeah.
They got that, man. They've got it. They've got it so bad, it's unbelievable.
So,
but you know what, Neil? They put those things, they put those blinders on horses so they won't get scared of anything in their peripheral vision. Maybe that's maybe that metaphor holds.
It does. I agree.
So what was that? Do you have friends who are Democrats or liberals down there as well? How'd you guys turn out this year at the polls? Is there at least a few of you down there?
Well, I mean, as far as around my areas, I voted, and my old lady voted, but, to make a dent, give me a break. we did what we could, but...
Well, that's it. So what kind of business are you involved in down there, Neil?
What kind of business am I involved in?
Yeah.
Oh man, right now I have major heart problems, so I don't work, so I don't do no
business. You're on disability?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good. But you're all right. Thanks for calling us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Okay.
And hopefully Bush won't mess with that.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's just so many things that he seems to want to mess with.
Yeah.
As far as government programs. Remember, this is what the conservative, if it was up to the conservatives, Neil might not have any disability.
That's right. That's one of those moments where I'm like, yeah, I'll talk a little more. And then I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, man, it happens to people. It really happens to people.
I love when people call us. Remember before the election, people would call us from the South in some areas, and it almost sounded like they had to be quiet because they didn't want to get found out. I'm listening to you on the Internet. I can't talk much louder because someone will wake up in my town and pull the plug on it.
Yeah, right.
So we got Larry. We got
Larry Johnson coming up to talk more about this CIA foolishness, because that's the only way you can describe it.
He's going to give us the real story.
He's going to give us the real deal. We got Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the Monday job listing, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, fighting treason with reason on Air America Radio. Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the internet. Childabuseunit.com.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy. Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired!
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Phil wants to know if he and his wife are ready to buy their first home. My advice, everybody.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Phil and his wife buy their first home?
My wife and I are wanting to purchase a home. We've been married for a year, but we're debt-free with the exception of a school loan.
Cool.
We sat down, we talked about the mortgage, we think we can afford it, and then they bust PMI out on us.
And without a 20% down payment, you're going to have private mortgage insurance.
Is that all, is that every time, no way around it?
No way around it.
Okay.
No way around it is a good way. I mean, there's other things you can do. There's people that are doing what are called 80-20 loans where they take out a second mortgage at a higher interest rate. And since the first mortgage is only 80%, then they don't charge you PMI. But the higher interest rate on the second mortgage offsets the fact you don't have PMI. So it's you know, you're swapping dollars. I'd take out the PMI. Just make sure you put it on a 15-year fixed and you pay it down as fast as you can pay it down.
No way we're going to be able to afford a home.
Then you need to wait. You don't need to buy a home on a 30-year mortgage. That's a dangerous thing. It goes on forever and ever, and the amount of interest you pay is just horrible.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Big ears. Flat feet. Bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family learning programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
starting to pick up steam now. 34 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is Morning Sedition. You're listening to The Marks on Air America Radio.
Yeah, baby.
That's M-A-R-C-K-S. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Since the handover of power, exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face, this is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 140. Leaders of Iraq. Wow. Good morning to you as well. We've occupied Fallujah. Uh-huh. This should be a high-fiving beer commercial moment for all of us, so why is it such a drainer? Now, I'm not blaming you, but I'm blaming you. Yes, you just don't understand drama, all right? Drama has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Then everybody goes home, has sex, and goes to sleep. Drama makes people feel useful without requiring them to actually do anything. Problem is, this war is not fitting into the format at all. It's got more endings than the third Lord of the Rings movie. I know, it's annoying, wasn't it? Yeah. We have a media whose job it is to shape real life into satisfying little movies for the American people. Since we're completely addicted to these little movies, if the one called the Iraq War stops being interesting, people are going to get cranky and not want to pay for it anymore. Then we've got problems. Look, Fallujah could be a terrific drama if you just help a little. Now, if someone in a nice uniform could surrender on board a battleship, give up their sword or something, well, that would be sensational. Even your people would enjoy that. Yeah, exactly. From now on, when you're fighting, don't ask, what are we gaining? Ask, how will this play in the TV movie? Then we'll all have something for the scrapbook later. Get it? Anyway, good luck and God bless, and by God, I mean our God. This has been Day 140 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. I believe we have our guest on the phone, yes?
Yes we do.
Well, it's always great to talk to this guy. He is a terrorism analyst and a former member of the CIA and State Department, and we're gonna ask him some questions because everything's upside down. Good morning, Larry Johnson. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
What is going on in the CIA? Is it possible that Bush is getting rid of everybody that doesn't agree with him?
It's sort of like a version of Mad Magazine Spy versus Spy.
Oh, Lord!
I don't know. It could be that there's a political purge underway. On the other hand, it's not like CIA can point to its record over the past 8 years and say, man, did we do a great job.
Right.
And a lot of the people that are being fingered for being ousted, frankly, were a part of the decision-making chain that helped bring us some of these disastrous decisions. So, Prodergos may, in fact, be holding some people accountable, which is something that hasn't happened in this town for, God knows, at least 4 or 5 years.
Well, like what decisions, Larry?
Let's start with the failure to establish effective informant networks overseas to recruit spies in Islamic groups to penetrate the radical insurgencies.
And the argument there is that it should have been done because just by the existence of somebody like a John Walker Lynn or somebody like that, it showed that there was a possibility to do that, but it wasn't taken care of.
Absolutely. If a kid from California on his own with just, limited financing can go do it, we're saying that, the CIA with millions of dollars can't,
right.
Come on.
Right. What were some of the other ones?
That was the main one.
Okay.
I mean, and then you get the disastrous, analysis and in Iraq on some issues, or the failure to adequately vet some of the sources coming out of there, so that, if George Tenet says we got a slam dunk and, we're still getting slammed, you've got to wonder about the slam
dunk. But what about the other side of that? I mean, wasn't there some argument to be made that George Bush was sort of like, forcing them to, on some level, manage the information and form it to the degree that he can make a decision?
No, that's true, too. I mean, it is a very schizophrenic picture, very mixed out there, because on the one hand, you have this, this idiotic October 2002 National Intelligence Estimate, which basically said, Iraq's this great threat, and yet at the same time, the analysts who were briefing it to the Hill were telling members of Congress that there was nothing to Iraq's alleged effort to be acquiring uranium out of Niger.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a clear black and white. There's a lot of gray there. Look, at the end of the day, you've got some people out there who have been part of the problem. It looks like they're being asked to leave. On the other hand, Porter Goss has brought in some folks that are viewed as being partisan. We'll see. We're going to have to see what unfolds over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Larry, Steve Kappas, who I guess will decide today whether or not he stays or goes, he's the chief of the clandestine service, seems...
The DDO, Deputy Director Operations.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deputy Director...
You got it right. He's been in charge of the clandestine services.
Okay. Now, he supposedly was the guy who convinced Gaddafi to renounce weapons of mass destruction. That may be a little bit overblown and a little media hype. But, I mean, is he the kind of guy that the CIA can afford to lose? Because he's getting ready to leave.
Yeah, because the other thing about Kappas, you have to remember, he was the deputy to Jim Pavitt, who just left. Pavitt was the guy that when Valerie Plame was outed, didn't really, you know, jump up in arms and say, wait a second. Remember Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson?
Oh, yeah, very clearly.
You know, clandestine officer outed. Neither Kappas nor Pavitt were jumping up and down screaming about that. So,
right.
You know, these guys wanting to present themselves as super spooks. They were there and presided over this inability of our clandestine services to have effective recruitment of spies overseas. So,
well, tell me, Larry, what is if it is true, you know, we're getting a report from Newsday that, you know, that the White House is ordering, you know, that they're going to purge people that were disloyal to Bush. Now, what is loyalty in terms of the CIA? What does that mean? What does a partisan CIA look like?
Boy, if it becomes a partisan CIA, we're in big trouble. You know, I hearken back to a day in 1986, 87, when I was working as an analyst, and put it in context, I had voted for Reagan. So it was not like it was some left-leaning democratic liberal, and yet I was being accused of being a communist and a sympathizer because the analysis we were providing about Central America didn't square with what the Reagan administration wanted to hear.
Right.
And what the role of the intelligence community is to be the Dutch uncle, to go tell the president the stuff he doesn't want to hear because you're telling him the truth. You're not trying to say, hey, if I slant it one way or spin it another, you'll give me a better job or give me more money.
So you guys are it's a precarious position to be in as a CIA officer because you can be blamed in a second or, you know, you can be just cut off in a second. So the real danger of a partisan CIA is that, you know, the real information is completely subject to the administration's agenda.
People will clam up. You know, if you find out that, you know, let's say that we say Osama bin Laden's on the run, we have eliminated him as a threat, and you develop information that says, hey, he actually has a nuke and is going to come to us, and you go to your boss and say, oh, no, we don't want to take that to the White House. They don't want to hear bad news. At that point, you start putting American security at risk.
Oh, man.
Larry Johnson, I wanted to get your comments about the interview that Michael Scheuer, who just resigned from the CIA just the other day, what he had to say to 60 Minutes, specifically about the Al-Qaeda insurgency, which he says is now global, and how this turmoil and controversy at the CIA is going to impact on it. Let's go right now to Michael Scheuer, who was speaking last night on 60 Minutes.
Bin Laden's still at large. His most recent speech, I think, demonstrates that he's not running from rock to rock and cave to cave. We are tangled into a very significant Islamic insurgency in Iraq. Most dramatically and perhaps least noticed is the violence inside of Saudi Arabia itself. Saudi Arabia was, until just a few years ago, probably one of the most safe countries on earth. And now the paper is daily full of activities and shootouts between Islamists who support Osama bin Laden and the government there.
Now, Larry, given that reality, can the CIA get its act together to actually pursue Al-Qaeda, to pursue bin Laden?
Well, it goes beyond CIA. You know, the question that I've been pushing journalists to ask, nobody will ask it, and we have yet to get a good answer from the White House. Who's in charge of finding bin Laden? You've got a CIA counterterrorism center that's supposedly responsible, but then you have an element... the Special Operations Command and Department of Defense, who's claiming that it's responsible. The FBI thinks that it's responsible. When you got three or four people thinking they're in charge, nobody's in charge, nobody's responsible. And I agree with what Mike was saying, that the direction of our activities in Iraq is helping bring about some unity among Islamic extremists that heretofore they weren't able to achieve.
It's pretty amazing to me that, you know, I have a hard time understanding how exactly, you know, this president got into office on the idea that he was good for terrorism, whereas, you know, towards the end of the election cycle there, when he was, you know, the campaign was getting hot and the Bin Laden tape came out, you literally were able to see them, you know, both on the same newscast, you know, and the president was saying, no place for him to hide. Well, he's not hiding. He's on the same show as you.
Well, he has been good for terrorism because the number of terrorist incidents since 9/11 has actually gone up in terms of significant incidents.
Absolutely. Now, and you're basically saying this, if I'm getting this right, Larry, is that there's really no organized effort to find Bin Laden in an effective way on behalf of any of the intelligences.
Correct. What you have are multiple efforts. You don't have coordination. We haven't seen this level of chaos in the counterterrorism policymaking side of the House since 1985-86, when at that time there was a fistfight on board an airplane between a CIA representative and a State Department representative who were arguing over who was in charge.
And there's no indication that they're going to take the 9/11 Commission's suggestion of putting somebody in that position to integrate the two agencies, is there?
Well, it's not so much a matter of integration. They're really, I don't think the 9/11 Commission recommendations per se address it. It really is more a function of the president getting his house in order, putting someone in charge at the White House. You go back to right after 9/11, they put General Wayne Downing in charge over the NSC, ostensibly, mm-hmm. to coordinate counterterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is he issued a directive, and he got a letter back from Don Rumsfeld telling him to go pack sand.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and you saw Downing resigned about 6 months after that. So what you've wound up with is nobody's in charge.
Larry, final quick question. If Al-Qaeda, as has been reported, is trying to smuggle a nuclear device into Mexico and then possibly bring it into the U.S., would the CIA that you know find out about it and perhaps be able to interdict it?
Not likely. I think the one more likely to find out and at least raise the warning flag would be DEA, simply because DEA's got a better network of informants.
On the border.
The saving grace for us right now is that acquiring and using nuclear technology is still very difficult. It's, you know, I have no doubt that Al-Qaeda wants to, but wanting to do something doesn't translate into actually being able to do so.
Well, I hate to end on that note.
Way to start Monday. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least you said it's still hard, which is good.
Yeah, right?
All right, Larry, you take care. Nice talking to you again.
I appreciate it, Larry. Take care.
That was Larry Johnson. He was a former member of the CIA and the State Department, and some grim news, but, you know.
This is scaring the hell out of me this Monday.
Oh, we've got to pull it back around, Riley.
Maybe we have to talk about Dylan again.
No, what'd you say, Clutch? No. You want to take a... why don't you call us and cheer us up? How would that be?
Yeah, there you go.
866-303-2270. And I'll find something funny after the break. 47 past the hour. Air America Radio.
Call 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Air America fans, muckraking Mother Jones Magazine has a special offer just for you. Get a full year subscription for just $10 at our new website, readmojo.com. That's readmojo.com, where you'll get over 70% off the regular price. Subscribe today and get instant access to all subscriber-only content and extras on our website. Fight back against 4 more years of corruption by subscribing to Mother Jones at readmojo.com.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard.
Put away the books.
Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Past the hour, it's Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Hello.
You're listening to Air America Radio. What are we doing? Are we talking to people? We are going to talk to people.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the job listing, which I have right here.
Uh-oh.
We know things are tough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found this for the Morning Sedition Monday job listing. I just love hearing this song. With the resignation of John Ashcroft, we at the Bush administration are seeking a replacement. No, not for curtailing civil liberties or inventing legal rationale to allow torture. That's covered. We need someone to fill in for Mr. Ashcroft's other and very vital function, distracting the hostile fire of Democrats. Briefly put, we need an evangelical rodeo clown to draw off the snorting bulls of liberalism while our cowboy stealthily dismantles what's left of the New Deal and representative democracy. The ideal candidate will be a bona fide Jesus nutcase with their nose too deep in the Bible to even think of the phrase Jesus nutcake as derogatory. You'll enjoy the sort of lunatic fringe antics that send Democrats into convulsions of bile and scorn, like covering the breasts of a marble statue or being anointed in cooking oil. Heck, go ahead and up the ante. Plant a cross on the mall and have yourself nailed up in a mock crucifixion or a real crucifixion. Go nuts with it. Live a little. One thing, please, no singing. That drove even us up the wall. If you feel you'd be right for this position, pray real hard and give us a call. It will take a special individual to step into Mr. Ashcroft's sandals. Oh, man. What a day. Margo, what's going on?
Hey, Margo.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
You guys are amazing. Listen, I just want to say, all this worrying about the terrorists, you know, if it's not terrorists, it's a New York City cab, it's an asteroid, it's cancer. I mean, something's going to get you.
Hold on, I'm writing these down.
Yeah, right. Asteroid, cancer, New York City cab. I'm scared to death.
All I'm saying is you got to live life in the moment, because it's all you've got. And here's a little thing I have to say. Worry, whatever its source, weakens, takes away courage, and shortens life.
Oh, I'm a wuss. And I'm going to die soon.
Yeah,
I love you guys. You guys are the best.
You're the best.
Appreciate it, Margo.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I will. Yeah, we feel good. We're doing okay.
We're doing all right.
But now the asteroid thing, I never really thought of that one.
Yeah.
I don't worry as much as I used to. You know, in the my worry about eating nuts and berries and stuff is really just a vanity thing. What do I really worry about? You know what
what I worry about?
What?
Oversleeping. I worry about oversleeping every day.
Yeah.
I don't do it. I woke up this morning at like 1:25.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't oversleep. It's just like, well, I better get up now because if I go back to bed, I will oversleep. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I worry about stupid things, and I don't even want to go into them. I used to be a complete hypochondriac. I don't really have that anymore. Asteroids, I don't generally worry about. I'm trying to remember what the hell I worried about recently.
Global terrorism? World peace?
Global terrorism frightens me a little bit. You know, my worries are they're not as broad as they used to be. Like, I don't spend the day worrying about something, but I'll have a bad 10 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get real paranoid sometimes, like in situations. Like where I think, like the train underwater thing that gets me.
Okay.
It's a matter of letting myself think about things. You know,
it comes down to being able, I think.
Asteroid.
Especially here, we're on the top of this building. If an asteroid hit the top of this building, where would we go, man?
Dude, if an asteroid hit the top of this building, God wanted us dead, buddy.
All right, you understand?
I mean, if that's like, if it's going to be that specific, like I'm sitting there, like she's saying the cab, we worry about the cab and the asteroid. I'm like, hell, imagine getting hit by an asteroid in the cab. I'm like, how unlucky would you have to be? You'd be like,
Hey, but look, if there was a postal worker who got killed by a falling tree. Remember when it was so windy last week? New Jersey?
Yeah.
Well, a guy driving a postal truck, minding his own business, huge tree falls on it.
Wow.
Yeah, killed the guy.
That's Well, here, let's talk to Rod in Houston. I think he's got some uplifting news. What's up, Rod?
Hey, Rod.
Hey, how are you guys? This ought to make you feel a little bit more secure.
Thanks, Rod.
Bring it on.
This will bring you out. Hey, I'm an attorney down here in Houston.
Yeah.
And I guess for matters of appearance, I get a lot of clients who are of Arabic background.
You do.
And young guys usually charged with offenses like theft and burglary of motor vehicle and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But they freely travel back and forth across the border between Texas and Mexico, going back to their home countries,
uh-huh.
Back in the Middle East. And they just freely travel back and forth. And they're all of about the age that you would expect to be on somebody's watch list or to be contained deeply. But these guys just come back and forth, and they belong to some sort of theft ring is all I can think of. And they come to me constantly. And I got this one about 2 months ago who had been arrested, placed in jail, and released from jail. And he never gave them his right name, never gave them any correct
information. And this is in Houston, Texas?
And he told me, hey, well, I'm leaving the country, but I'll be back in September. And when he left my office, I phoned him in. I said, this has got to be.
You did. You ratted him out, didn't you, Rod?
Yeah, this has got to either be a set by the CIA of me or this guy's a terrorist.
Oh, man.
And there's no way that this is happening. And so I called him in, and And he never returned back from the Middle East. So
thanks a lot, Roy.
Well, you've done your good deed. Aside from scaring the hell out of us, he still did a good thing.
But that's amazing. That's in Houston, Texas. That's the hometown of Dummy.
Yeah, it sure is.
I'm sorry, the president.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
President Dummy.
President Dummy.
Oh, I'm going to get hurt.
Whatever.
We're coming back.
Next hour, we've got Mark Danner, author of Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror, here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While thousands of American forces have been entrenched in Fallujah to eliminate the insurgents, there's word this morning that still more are coming under attack in Bakuba and the Sunni Muslim heartland. Reports of heavy gunfire and explosions against Iraqi police and American forces continue. The insurgents have attacked police stations in the town of Bariz, just south of Bakuba. The latest wave of unrest comes on the heels of what the U.S. military considers a successful mission in Fallujah. Time magazine correspondent Michael Weir says there appears to be no end to the unrest of American forces are encountering in the country.
The bulk of the leadership of the resistance left well before, most likely taking much of their force with them, leaving behind a very large and suicidally committed rear guard element to meet this oncoming American advance.
Journalist Michael Weir from Iraq this morning. U.S. military, with the help of Iraqi forces, is continuing its offensive in Fallujah this morning against the diehard insurgents who remain and are still fighting back. The U.S. military says it has full control of the situation in the city, despite reports of scattered pockets of fighting. Large areas of the city, just the same, have been described in ruins, devastated by the week-long attack last week by the U.S.-led offensive. Compounding the crisis in Fallujah is the cleanup still pending. Reuters correspondent says the streets are littered with decomposing bodies, smashed homes, destroyed Muslim mosque, along with severed power and telephone lines. Reports say it will take years for the city to be actually rebuilt. Any perceived victory in Fallujah by the Americans has to be short-lived, as fighting by the insurgents is on a rise in not only Bakuba, but now Mosul. Right now, there's word that the Iraqi Red Crescent is struggling to give food and medical aid to residents inside that city after a convoy of emergency supplies only got as far as a U.S.-occupied hospital. New developments regarding three kidnapped relatives of Iraqi Interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi. Arab satellite television reports that two female relatives of the prime minister were set free. Sources say the two were released in Bakuba without further details. Iraqi officials were not immediately available to confirm the report. A previously unknown Islamist group seized the prime minister's 75-year-old first cousin, Ghazi Alawi, along with his wife and their daughter-in-law in Baghdad last Tuesday. The group had threatened to kill all within a 48-hour period unless the government called on the U.S. to end the assault on Fallujah and free prisoners. And President Bush appears convinced that the violence in Iraq could worsen even as American forces battle to wipe out resistance in Fallujah. Bush told his weekly radio address that he envisions an increase in the unrest, even with what he described as a significant progress made in that city. Bush says the success of a democracy in Iraq would be a crushing blow to the forces of terror. Wayne Gilman.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
productivity down. Customers complain.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone or go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring your Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
This is Earth and Sky. Despite over a decade of conservation, spotted owls are still in decline, and scientists aren't sure why.
Scientists study spotted owls primarily in the Pacific Northwest and California. Each area of study can consist of hundreds of thousands of acres and contain fewer than 100 pairs of spotted owls. The fact that the owls are nocturnal makes them even harder to find.
Rocky Gutierrez is chair of the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul. He studied spotted owls in their habitats for nearly 25 years.
The sum total of these study areas and the number of birds that have been individually banded so that we can identify individuals probably represents the largest single study of population dynamics of an endangered species ever conducted in the world. So it's a monumental effort. And despite this great amount of effort, we still have uncertainty about some of the populations and what their status is.
Dr. Gutierrez thinks that a combination of hostile weather, a recent invasion of barred owls, and past habitat loss might be why spotted owls are declining. More about owls next time.
Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. This is not an outrage clearinghouse for everybody, but
no.
We'll do it a little bit. How's everybody doing? Liberals, conservatives, whoever enjoys listening, it's nice to talk to you. Good morning, it's Monday. I've got this new thing, Riley, where I'm... like, instead of getting the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, everything's changed. I guess I had one of those cathartic weekends where it's like, you know what? Monday, that's it. It's all different from here on out. No more M&Ms in the morning. It's making me crazy. All the sugar is making me psychotic. No more Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I bought me a little tin of Nescafe.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which reminds me of Europe, because they have it in Europe. Every place has instant coffee in Europe. And so I'm going to do the Nescafe, and I'm going to do the healthy things, at least for the rest of the day. Tomorrow could be a whole different thing. I don't know. These things change, but I went running. My magic shoes work this weekend. I'm going to try and turn it all around, because you know what? I've hit that age where it's time to start moving back in years. I'm not old, but it's like I'm going to start going back down if I can.
Oh, you want to try and get back to the womb life?
Yeah.
Situation by the time you're like 80, right?
Can I stop at, say, 18, 19? I'm willing to stop at 18 or 19.
Well, you might end up getting locked up if you stop at 18.
I feel bad for kids today. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Stanwood, Washington, a teenager accused of planning to supply a Somalian terrorist group with night vision goggles and bulletproof vests, foreshadowed the charges in his high school yearbook with a note that mentioned Somalia in his plans for world supremacy. So this kid...
Oh,
but here, I think there's a problem. I really think there's a serious problem. mind.
That's only a small one, though.
No, the thing is, you got John Walker Lynn, you got Azam the American now. You got these guys who are American guys.
American terrorists.
That you're not, are not necessarily, you know, Muslim, though they converted. When John Walker Lynn was a Muslim, who he was a convert, and I guess Azam the American is probably a convert. But, yeah, they were initially Jewish, I think, one of them. Azam, yeah. But the thing is when I was a kid, you know, there were certain rebellious archetypes that still sort of held some credibility. You know, you had Keith Richards. You had guys, you know, not James Dean, but some of the poets. Like, you had the Beatniks. You had people like even Abby Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, the 60s rebels that, you know, fought against the U.S. government from within the United States to make a statement. You had American...
Muhammad Ali!
Muhammad Ali, another great example. You had these... In-country rebellious heroes that you could look up to. Now these kids got to outsource their heroic fantasies to these terrorists.
To Osama bin Laden?
Exactly. But I think a lot of the kernels of it are just, you know, some of that are just extensions of the seeds of, you know, just sort of angst, frustration, you know, malcontent, just naturally malcontent, and then it becomes politicized or problems with the U.S. government. But because there's such a shortage of American rebels fighting for the good cause here, outside of us, of course.
Yes, of course.
You know, Randy Rhodes and a few other people. You know, you don't have heroes for these kids that are romantic enough to assuage their teenage fantasies of rebellion.
Well, you know, there are some kids who may not live to need heroes if a plan by the Bush administration actually goes through, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most insane crap I think I've ever heard coming out of a presidential administration. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, plans to launch a study in which participating low-income families will have their children exposed to toxic pesticides over 2 years. What do you think this is, the Tuskegee experiment?
Well, but it's worse than that because they're asking for volunteers. I mean, it's come to a point where if you're in dire straits, see, this is the new pitch for the Bush administration. It's like, not only are you going to get a little tax credit, or what they call tax relief, but if you just spray your kids twice a day with this stuff, we're not sure what it's going to do. We'll give you maybe $900 a year and a T-shirt, and who knows, maybe a Game Boy and a DVD player. What do you say?
To be exact, $970, a free video camera, a T-shirt, and a framed certificate of appreciate. I guess that maybe that's the difference. They didn't give the guys in the Tuskegee experiment a framed certificate of appreciation.
Not till years later.
Yeah, no, actually, it wasn't until years later they even admitted they did it.
Exactly.
I mean, what kind of insanity is? And by the way, you know where they're trying to do this, right?
Where?
They are trying to do this down in our good friend Congresswoman Corrine Brown's territory, Duval County, Florida.
What is wrong with Florida? Why is it such a weird repository of insanity on so many levels?
Yeah, well, if we can't disenfranchise the black voters, then we'll just
kill them.
Turn their children toxic. How's that for you?
Because you know what they're thinking in their heads. These guys are devious. It's like, you got a lot of kids. You know? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You lose two. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, look, the participants were chosen from 6 health clinics and 3 hospitals in Jacksonville. These medical facilities report that 51% of their births are to 9 white mothers. 62% of the mothers have received only an elementary or secondary education, which means that they, you know, someone's figuring that the Bush folks are picking on people who are not fully prepared to defend themselves.
Well, that's how so many of the ballots got screwed up in Florida in 2000. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That a lot of the ballots were too complicated for some people to read, to understand. Our guest, Mark Danner, is going to be on later, wrote a little piece that I read on the 2000 elections, but his new book, The Torture and Truth in America, about Abu Ghraib, is what we'll primarily be talking about, but that's an interesting point you make. And here's a couple other things you're planning on doing. They have these other projects that they're going to be doing. Then they haven't decided whether they're not going to do it or not. They're going to, one of them is to take perfectly healthy children and replace parts of their body with stuff from Radio Shack. You know, I mean, hey, what kid doesn't want to be a cyborg? I mean, you see how they dress on Halloween. Or how about this one? The Food and Drug Administration was going to study the taste of human flesh, which is, sorry, man. I know that sounds bad, but all they're trying to do is develop some kind of artificial human flesh flavoring. How about this? That those two were, not hilarious. But without exposing the public to any kind of danger, the Department of Commerce is going to take 900 tons of industrial runoff and see whether it could be marketed in a pudding cup.
Oh, God. With who? Bill Cosby as a spokesman?
This is the best.
I don't think so.
It's glowing. It's already hot. All right, anyway. Hot pudding, where'd that come from? Right, to prove that chemical warfare attacks... Hot pudding, that's a good name for a band. Or a nice slang term for a vagina.
Yes!
Hot pudding for everybody! I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened. You know what?
It sounds like another poontang moment to me.
Well, poontang to you, Mark Riley. To prove that chemical warfare... That's a little classic that only some of you will remember. And those of you who will remember, they'll probably write me a snippy email. Now, that's not very nice to... You know what? Whatever. To prove the chemical warfare attacks aren't that harmful, the Defense Department was going to send an army of pregnant women to occupy Fallujah.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Okay. As part of a study on health care, half of all low-income patients at hospital emergency rooms would receive placebo operations.
Oh,
well, you know, there's one or two there. We got a little.
One or two.
Let's go with the rest of this. Not only is that pesticide thing bad, because pesticides are bad. Apparently, there was a study that came out, you know, recently that says, you know, almost all diseases are pollution related. But now the polar bears might be facing extinction, which kills me because I love polar bears.
This is a whole global warming thing. By the way, the pesticide thing they're putting off, you know, they're going to not start the study until the spring while they look at the effects. Like, they shouldn't know what the effects already are, you morons.
No, but what they're doing is they're trying to get that $970 number down.
Down, yeah, right?
To like
get them down to $650. Yeah,
that's what they're arguing about in Congress. Like, we don't really need poor people. I mean, a lot of them $650.
We could use more kids if we spread the money around them.
Well, that's why they're so anti-abortion, is they're going to obviously need kids for other reasons other than just...
human experimentation.
Well, anyways.
Yeah, the polar bears, man. Now, see, this is one of those... This is one
of
these
polar bears. I really do. They're my favorite animal, and I don't know why.
Well, you know, they have now established that global warming is not a figment of some liberal's imagination, like Bush said during the 2000 campaign. It is a real fact, and it does endanger polar bears, seals, and many other creatures that have the temerity to have the Arctic as their environment.
Well, you know how this works, is the more that the ice melts, see, the way that polar bears eat is there are these holes in the ice,
in the ice
where the seals come up for water, the air holes, and that's where they just grab the little seal and munch them up, which is okay because it's part of the wild thing.
The polar bears are
not killing the seals to make jackets for their kids.
No.
But polar bears, for some reason, have always moved me a lot. I love polar bears. I'm very sad to hear this.
Well, that's yeah, and I mean, the thing is, this is something that could be, certainly the American government could have done more to deal with, except the Bush administration has been in deep denial. Partly because they, you know, the conclusion is that greenhouse gas emissions, emissions from manufacturing and that sort of thing, are what are creating the global warming. And the Bush administration's argument is, well, if you start putting all kinds of restrictions on that, you'll kill American jobs.
Yeah, and also, there are benefits. Why not invest in waterfront property in Texas?
Yeah.
get ready for the new boardwalk in Nevada. You know what I mean? Hey, let's take some calls. They've been chipping away at this. They're going to be doing, you know, commercial drilling in the Alaska Oil Reserve. And I get these reports. I'm like, how'd this just happen? All of a sudden this is happening? Because over the last 3 or 4 years, they've chipped away at environmental regulations.
Little by little.
Deliberately.
Now
it's happening. And it's horrendously disturbing. And, you know, these things, because we've been so concerned about so many other things, like trying to get rid of this guy, that, you know, now we've got to refocus our attention on these things, and I just hope it's not too late, but it's not. So call us, 866-303-2270. We'll take some more calls. Why not? That'll be fun. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition.
We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Right here on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and CortiSlim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss.
For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
It's Sunday Morning Rocks on Sirius Central 148 with your hosts, rockin' comedian Jim Brewer at 6 a.m. Rock and roll author Dave Marsh at 10. And Rolling Stone on Sirius, middays. Sunday's Rock and Roll on Sirius Central 148.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
Yes, it's 22 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Hello, Mark. On Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, Ramon sent somebody dressed as him today to give us a Palm Pilot, which is now can be from anywhere because he's got this new program, and now we can get anybody in the administration today. We have Dick Cheney's schedule, so let's get into that. 7 a.m., wake up, ask Lynn whether I died over the weekend and this is hell. Later, have inquiries made. If I did die and this is hell, would Lynn tell me? 7:30 a.m., breakfast, oatmeal with extra oat bran, wheatgrass juice, bowl of pills, no butter, no salt, no bacon. This is hell, and Lynn didn't tell me. 10 a.m., get on remote controls during President's meeting with Veterans Group. Now that the election is over, it won't make any difference. Make the President talk like Rip Taylor and have his arms flail around like Kermit on the Muppet Show. Hello? Is this on? Anyone listening? All right. 3 p.m., meet with, you know, I don't want any laughs that aren't unwarranted from anybody. Okay? If I'm going to flail, you let me flail right here alone like I did on Friday night at the Boston Comedy Club. I will flail on my own and tank it if I have to. Meet with Ambassador. This is at 3 p.m., Dick Cheney. Meet with Ambassador from Zoltan, Nebula 4, and allow him to harvest the population of Maine for his nutrition and obscene pleasures. In exchange, receive more vast amounts of wealth with which I can continue to pay my way out of death. All right, no, it's okay. No, I want nothing. Nothing. There wasn't a clear beat or place where you could find the laugh in there, so I understand that. It's one of those sort of like, good idea, but I don't know if it's ha-ha kind of, you know, if there's a beat right there. Hey, 7 p.m., watch the news. Using only brain waves and angry thoughts, see if I can make the anchorman's face melt again. All right. You know, see, I know you guys have already heard this once, and it's asking you a lot to laugh again. But, you know, the one thing I don't need, Kalo, is to sort of like, yeah, all right. Yeah, here's the last one. Good effort. 10 p.m., bedtime. Get back in bed with Halliburton. See, there's a, you know, back in bed, with it sort of works on two levels. It's kind of
sexual and corporate
Kalo.
Corruption.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that just hit you in the head? I meant for you to catch that. I guess I was a little late on the catch part. That's it. What's going to happen now? Robin is calling us from Pennsylvania. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. In the interest of fair and full information, they aren't going to be spraying kids with toxic chemicals. They're just going to be looking for families who are already exposed to toxic chemicals and then not treat them or help them reduce their exposure and see what happens with the kids from there. And the concern is that people are going to try to be exposed to chemicals in order to get the shirt and the
we were being literal with the spray the kids.
Whoa. Not only were we not being literal, that was called a jokey joke. But thank you, Robin. You're right. And that is the issue. The exact quote from the AP story is scientists at EPA and environmentalists question whether the government should give participating families $970 plus a camcorder and children's clothes, saying it might encourage low-income families to use pesticides in their homes. So it's putting the onus on them, but I still think the onus should sit on the people that are speculating about doing this in the first place.
Well,
Why wouldn't people do stuff for money? Because they figure it's like, hell, you know, the kid, you know, he eats cereal. You know, I mean, he eats a lot of sugar. I mean, there's a lot of things that are bad. You know, he'll probably bounce off. He'll bounce back. What's the worst that could happen? Two generations from now, they're going to have flippers.
Exactly. Because remember that what we're talking about here are toxic chemicals that can be found at home. That could be anything from roach spray to all manner of things that people use in the house on a regular basis.
We're surrounded
by this stuff. And you don't want people going out to buy more of that stuff just so they can qualify for $970 in a stinking camcorder.
Yeah, there's other ways to make money, just not in George Bush's economy.
Yeah, right.
So you might want to think about this, of, you know, increasing the toxic chemicals in your household to be eligible for a little extra jack.
Well, it's either that or the service.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't that what it's coming
down
to?
I think they're talking about kids who are younger. So unless they lower the age of, maybe that's what they'll do instead of having a draft.
Early admission, college.
We could use earlier than that. Why not 10-year-olds? This is getting grim.
Sure.
No, it's not. It's just darkly funny. And perhaps I should just stop talking and take another call. That's what the voice in my head just said. I have roaches, speaking of toxic chemicals. They're back, and I need to get them taken care of. I need someone to come in with toxic chemicals and rid me. Because, you know, when you wake up and you have roaches, and, you know, there's the surfaces that you eat off of, and you're sort of wondering, like, wow, what's on there now that they were having a little roach party, you know?
Yeah.
And then I go into my office, and there's this horrendous feline orgy going on. You know, it's getting weird. We got a trucker calling us from Georgia. How are you, Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. How are you all doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. Well, I want to make a comment on the exposure of children to the toxic chemicals. That's been going on for 50, 60 years now, and they haven't been able to figure out what's going on with the kids.
Right.
Because the outrage of the society should be We should be up in arms right now because the Bush administration would even contemplate, the EPA would even contemplate doing something like that by not intervening for children that could become sick.
Right.
Just to let them go and give them $900. Now, we were willing to do that in Iraq. The whole country would be up in arms because we were doing it to a foreign country.
Right.
But to our own children, who cares? That's all right. This is the Bush administration.
Well, more clearly, to poor, underprivileged children. Thank you very much for your call. I mean, he's right. I mean, the outrage is that this is even being thought about. This is even being speculated,
yeah,
that this would be a way. And they know good and well that, you know, if given the opportunity to make more money, that some people will make compromises and they'll compromise the health of their kids. And obviously, these are not people with health coverage. And these are probably not people who are going to be served by any social programs that are slowly disappearing. I mean, they're just literally saying that, you know, why not? What do we got to lose? If you're poor people, who cares?
There you go. On the other side, that means after this brief commercial break,
yes,
we're going to be back with Mark Danner, author of Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Planet Check. Biona wetlands are like the kidneys of the Santa Monica Bay.
Biona is Los Angeles' last coastal wetlands ecosystem.
Biona Creek, which drains of a significant portion of the Santa Monica Mountains, currently is the number one pollution source of Santa Monica Bay. And this creek goes right through the Biona wetlands ecosystem.
That's Tom Francis, Executive Director of Biona Wetlands Land Trust. 600 acres have been protected to become an ecological reserve. Most of it has been lost, and more is being threatened by development.
If we lose even a part of this ecosystem, we're losing an opportunity to clean water in that creek as well as keep our ocean clean. And you can check us out at biona.org.
That's BALLONA.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Beth wants to know if cashing out her mutual funds to pay off her home is a good idea. My advice to her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Beth wants to know if she should cash out some mutual funds.
We're considering selling some mutual funds to downpay our mortgage, and we're wondering if that would make sense.
Are they inside of a retirement account?
No. No, we have...
How much are the mutual funds worth?
$200,000.
And how much is your mortgage?
$95,000.
Let's pretend your home is paid for and that you only had $100,000 in mutual funds. Would you go borrow $95,000 on your home to put more in mutual funds?
No, I would just think take all the money that I would be paying on my mortgage toward investment.
That's a great answer. It also tells us that you ought to cash out your mutual funds today and pay off your mortgage. Because if you wouldn't borrow on a paid-for house to end up with $200,000 in mutual funds, then taking out $100,000 to have a paid-for house is the exact same math. I can tell you that if I woke up in your shoes today, Trish, and I'd take my old house payment, just like you so wisely said a while ago, and use that to build my mutual funds back up to $200,000, I'd be out of debt instantaneously.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water. Everybody, out of the water.
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues.
Get your pad on, buddy.
There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Help you.
Hello. Can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're going to be talking to Mark Danner in a minute about Abu Ghraib, about Gonzalez, our new
AG.
AG, man, Attorney General, and also maybe a little bit about Florida and some of the voting fraud stuff. But first, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer from that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Good morning, Mark. God's got some steel wool, and he's scrubbing the sin off your hide.
Okay, buddy. All right. So,
it's a good day.
Yeah, all right. So listen, all right. Today we're going to talk about President Bush's appointment of Alberto Gonzalez as Attorney General.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Mark, you know, I think you'll agree that when President Bush, four more years, made that appointment, it was a great day for Native Americans everywhere.
Wait. Lawton, actually, he's Hispanic.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised you'd want to use the politically correct expression.
No, it's
I'll say for Hispanics, as you call them, they're darn good workers.
You should see
them in my neighborhood. Okay. There they are, pouring cement, tending gardens, mowing lawns. You can't pay for labor like that. In fact, they work so cheap you almost don't have
to pay for them.
Most of my neighbors don't, in fact.
Listen to me. What you're saying is offensive on so many levels, it's baffling. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. But we're talking about a man who's almost certainly going to be the next Attorney General of the United States.
Isn't that the great thing about this country?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're an American citizen, you can achieve anything, even if you are an illegal alien.
Wait. He's not an illegal alien.
Well, not anymore.
No.
I mean, now that he's Attorney General, he probably knows somebody in the Justice Department who can cut through some red tape for him.
Like
he cut through that wire fence to sneak right into our
country. Well, you know, wait a minute. I don't even like the guy, and I feel like I got to defend him here, all right? Let's not even talk about him more. What really worries me about him as being top cop is his record on human rights, all right? As White House counsel, Gonzalez, he aggressively promoted policies that undermine civil liberties and international law on the treatment of prisoners, and he's issued some very disturbing opinions on the uses of torture.
Oh,
you understand?
Now, hang on now, Mark.
What?
There is nobody in this world who believes more in basic human rights than George W. Biden.
Now I gotta argue with
anyone who's president, four more years, appointed attorney general is gonna place a very high premium on not just human rights of suspects, but their basic human dignity as well. Even if that means torturing the ever living crap out of them to ensure that those principles are upheld to the absolute letter of the law.
That reasoning is ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, like, everything Bush does, this was politically motivated appointment. What did you say?
Human rights. That's what we have now, as opposed to, you go on.
All right, it was a politically motivated appointment. It won't help Hispanics. It won't promote justice in this country. It will just keep a chokehold on the poor and the marginalized, and you know it, Smalls.
Fair freedom, human rights.
There you go. I heard there, I had a little sadness in your voice. Let it out, buddy.
He's a racist.
Yes,
he hates brown people. George Bush hates brown
There you go.
He hates him. He'll do anything.
Good. Good for you. Good for you, letting it out. Good for you. You okay, buddy?
Exploiter.
You all right?
He hates brown people.
Okay. Okay. You all right? Get it together a little bit before I let you go. I'm glad we had this breakthrough.
Diversity. Justice. Another victory. For President Bush,
right.
4 more years.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you.
I always feel better when I'm done.
All right, you take care. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, freak. Anyways. All right. The author of Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror. Also, The Road to Illegitimacy, One Reporter's Travels in the 2000 Florida Vote Recount. He is a contributor to the New York Review of Books. He's professional journalism, University of California, Berkeley. God, you get around, don't you? Mark Danner is with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So we're just having a quick let's go right to Gonzalez. This guy, I mean, this is quite a book. The Torture and Truth. It's a big book. It's basically you almost edited all the arguments here.
Well, a lot of it he wrote, actually.
And what do you think of this guy? What do you think of the way he's twisted this thing?
Well, it's remarkable because, you know, you have a scandal right now about torture, about the government's use of it, that's not really been resolved. Nobody's really been punished, just the people on the ground. And because the government is essentially one party at the moment, nobody's really investigating it. And now the first appointment that's made in President Bush's second term is the man who really was the point man when it comes to making decisions about torture, who essentially was the key figure in deciding to withhold Geneva Convention protection, not only from Al-Qaeda prisoners, but from the Taliban, and who was the man who presided over these memos, which essentially defined torture as something, the pain has to be so great as to be equivalent to the failure of major organs or death.
Right.
So basically, the ceiling is very, very high.
Yeah, everything else torture. Is acceptable. He's rational.
Exactly.
It's almost like saying that anything up until intercourse is just foreplay.
I don't know if I would have thought of that comparison, but it rings very true.
But I guess that's sort of like does that analogy work? Oh, I don't know.
I don't think we should think about it too closely is my recommendation.
Obviously, you know, we all wonder why more people in the administration haven't been tortured, number one, or punished. But how can how does this look on an international level that, you know, he has no respect for the Geneva Conventions. He's rationalized, you know, what torture is, and he's suspended any sort of real sort of universal or international code of justice. I mean, what does that do?
Well, I think it looks like he's really putting it in their face on the international level, because essentially he's taken the single figure who is most associated with these memos. And the memos really are extraordinary, you know,
right.
the redefinition of torture, and also the definition of presidential power is essentially, during time of war, the president can do whatever he wants. That is ultimate, complete, royalist presidential power. The guy who is most associated with these policies has now been nominated to be the next attorney general of the country. And it's remarkable, first of all, for its boldness, and its you know, lack of care about what the international community or the domestic Americans will think about it, but also for the fact that it's kind of in the face of the Senate. The Senate has to confirm this guy, and they have not yet had very substantial hearings on the torture scandals, and this would give them a chance to bring those subjects up. And I think all Americans should watch and see what kind of party the Democratic Party will now be in opposition, because they now have a chance to deal with these questions. None of the policymakers who approved the uses of these kinds of interrogation have been, not only have they not been punished, they're all still in their positions.
So does that mean you think they're going to stand up or roll over, the Democrats?
Well, I don't know. I have a feeling that, you know, the word is up to now. You hear the kind of gentle whispering saying, hey, this guy's going to get through. He's going to get through. And what happens when you start doing that is that a lot of people want to put their heads down. The problem is that I think this is going to be the first confrontation between, you know, the new Bush administration and the opposition. And it has to be a test for people in the opposition. You know, are you going to stand up and speak for the kinds of values that half of America stands for?
And if they don't, then it's an indication that they are going to lie down for the next 4 years.
I think that's true.
Wow, that's kind of, you know, today's been quite a day.
Yeah, really.
Who do you think is most likely to stand up?
Well, you've had Jack Reed, who's on the Armed Services Committee, senator from Rhode Island, who's been very concerned with this. He's a former, he actually served in the 82nd Airborne, so he's got great credibility on military issues. He's been very out front the last few weeks and talking about what's going on in the ground in Iraq. He's been, I think, quite effective. You know, John McCain is a fascinating figure in this because obviously he's the person in the Congress who was a POW and is famous for it. And he took a pretty strong role in the Senate before the election, up until the end of the summer in any event. So we'll have to see what kind of role he plays. I mean, I think essentially pressure should be put on him. I mean, if we had a more active press, I think they would be getting him on the talk shows and saying, hey, what do you think about this guy? He wrote these memos. And these memos really made it possible to put a kind of legal veil or a legal cloak over the kinds of activities that Americans saw in these notorious photographs that came out last April.
Which are in your book.
Which are in the book. And the documents themselves, which are really chilling and really represent, to me, a kind of milestone in the history of the country. I mean, you see a democracy trying to make legal things that really are illegal, and you see the appointed members of the government doing their best to do this, and in the forefront was Alberto Gonzalez.
Well, this guy also was, he sort of, when he was in Texas with Bush, he kind of made it okay for Bush to not question too deeply why he was executing prisoners, apparently. Isn't that true?
Well, he was the guy, he was the sort of clearinghouse for information on death penalty cases, no question about it. And, you know, we don't have much indication that the then-Governor Bush delved into these cases very closely. I mean, he relied, so we're told, very much on the views of his then-counsel, Alberto Gonzalez. So I don't know. I assume during the hearings that more on that particular issue will come out.
Well, apparently, with that relationship, what I understand is that, you know, Gonzalez, I almost got the feeling that George would, you know, would defer to him and say, you know, give me the information on this guy. And Gonzalez would just basically say, bad guy, deserves to die.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
Right.
Draw the finger across the throat.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to the Supreme Court? There's been a lot of speculation that his appointment as Attorney General is the first step in, in a possible appointment to the court. Yet we had someone here, Noah Feldman, last Friday, who said he didn't think so. He thought Gonzalez would stay as Attorney General, and they were kind of putting him there because they want to put somebody more conservative on the Supreme Court.
Well, that may well be. I think they anticipated. No, he was one of the great mentioner. He was the leading name for the next Supreme Court appointment. The problem is that they have trouble on the right with him because he actually decided a case in Texas where he was on the Supreme Court of Texas, essentially indicating that parents a minor could seek an abortion without
parental
express approval of parents.
Yeah.
So he had trouble on the right, and it would have been a fight because they would have been weakened on the right side. I thought when this appointment was made, I thought, you know, God, these guys are in power are very smart. I mean, they essentially took what could have been a problem, which was his appointment to the Supreme Court, and they took what was a need, which was to repay a constituency that really did better for them this time in a very important way in this election and may have decided it, and they solved it with one stroke. You know, they put him in high office. He's the first Hispanic Latino attorney general, or will be if he's confirmed, and the whole court issue is put, you know, onto the future.
Right.
And
there's still room now to pander to the most extreme of their base.
Exactly. That's a very good way to put it. Yeah.
Well, let's take some calls and we'll come back with you and flesh this out. Maybe we can find one of those chilling excerpts of the book. Mm-hmm. Our 866-303-2270 is our number, and I'm going to have to explain that joke I made earlier because I know where it came from. Anyway, it's 46 past the hour. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
What is it, Bob?
You can take
this job. Take this job and shove it. So you're quitting, huh?
Yeah.
I bet you're going to start your own business.
Right.
What do you know about starting a business? You're going to buy a business, start from scratch. How about startup money?
Well.
You even know where to get startup money?
Yeah, my brother.
Got a business plan? Can't raise money to start a business without a business plan.
I can't.
You're pathetic. You need Bruce Berman's book. It's called I Got Here, You Can Too. A master's course in becoming a millionaire. Want to be a millionaire, Bob?
That's the idea.
Then you got to buy his book. It shows exactly how Berman made a fortune in business and how you can too. Want a profitable business, Bob?
Sure.
Thanks, Bob. This is Bruce Berman. If you want to make $5, $10, even $15,000 a month right now from the comfort of your own home, then you don't have to buy my book. I will give you a free copy of my book and my Making Money CD. That's over $100 value. This limited time free offer is available only on my website, igothere.com. That's the letter I, gothere.com. That's the letter I, gothere.com. You can be making money within 30 days, guaranteed. So log on to igothere.com today.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Don't let the cable shark raise your rates. Switch to DirecTV today.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-264-0071.
And $4.99 a month for second and each of Destiny Series.
Offer ends 2-28-05.
Call now.
What?
I got serious in August because I really wanted to hear the NFL and I didn't even know you were on. And I had to get trade 4-6. I'm sitting in fucking traffic. I'd be pulling my hair out if I wasn't.
George from Alabama.
Now it's going to be on where I can actually listen.
Friday was his go out night.
Oh, I got you.
Monday through Thursday.
Hurry up. Jersey. What's your favorite station?
Hot Dog.
Nice.
Jim Brewer Unleashed weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
1 Pacific.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog. 147. Dominate uncensored.
Except here.
Here's a promo. What are you going to do?
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello? Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
We're back, and we're going to land this thing. It's 51 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Our guest in studio is Mark Danner, the author of Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror. I need to clear something up because I made an analogy earlier, and it's festering in my head, Riley.
Oh, Lord, not that, another one of those.
That the way that Gonzalez sort of reframed what torture was by saying that, you know, it's only for, you know, organ failure or if it causes death, anything else is not. Well, my analogy, which was wrong, is from an old bit I used to do. The one I said about foreplay earlier, but the bit that I used to do was that that the cheater's rationalization is that, you know, anything up until intercourse is just flirting.
It's flirting, yeah.
Right, so that's merely what I meant. It's not that that's important, but it's important for me not to throw stuff out there that isn't completely ridiculous and unfounded. But you have found Mark Danner.
That's a high standard. We should definitely keep to that.
The
ridiculous and unfounded standard.
You have found a more riveting and disturbing section of the book that you wanted to share?
I have. This is a memo, the so-called torture memo. And it was actually sent, written with the cooperation of our Attorney General designate, and sent to him. It's dated August 1st, 2002. And we have here that quote that I made reference to a minute ago. We conclude, the idea for this memo was they were supposed to examine, you know, what could you do to prisoners and not violate our international commitments not to torture. And he writes, we conclude that for an act to constitute torture as defined in Section 2340, it must inflict pain that is difficult to endure. Physical pain amounted to torture must be equivalent in intensity to the pain accompanying serious physical injury such as organ failure, impairment of bodily function, or even death. For purely mental pain or suffering to amount to torture, under that section, it must result in significant psychological harm or of significant duration, that is, lasting for months or even for years. And he goes on defining these things in rather chilling detail.
And good morning to you people out there just tuning in.
Yes, well, exactly.
We're talking torture.
Let's take a call or two, Mark. You want to?
Sure.
Dean in the Bronx, how are you?
Hi, Dean.
There's three Marks here.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for all that you guys do. You're providing just a tremendous service. And I guess really it's just a comment, you know, hearing all these kinds of things coming from all these investigations that we have from people that really, I guess, stand outside of the media, like yourself, Mark, really shows how important it is for the Democrats to really develop a firm backbone, and I hope that we can really press for our leaders to stand up and fight in a way that, like the Republicans fight. When the Republicans were in the minority, they had a never-say-die attitude, and we really have to demonstrate that. We showed in this past election that we could really bring the fight to them, and it's long about time that we stood up and took a page from their fight book.
Okay, but here's the problem, Dean.
Thanks for your call, Dean.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, but the problem is the only thing that politicians seem to understand is when one of their number loses a gig over not standing up.
Mm-hmm.
If someone else gets elected based on the fact that they'll stand up but the incumbent won't, that's when politicians start sitting up and taking notice. The most chilling part of Fahrenheit 9/11 for me was watching black person after black person in Congress getting up on the floor and trying to introduce a resolution about black disenfranchisement while all the senators sat there laughing at him.
Yeah.
Not standing up. That's not backbone.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, I thought Dean's statement was really eloquent, and I take something different from it, which is that there's a necessity to fight for certain principles to convince the public, even in battles that you won't immediately win. That is, you have to realize that these political fights, you know, only eventuate in an election. It's not about, just because you can't take down Alberto Gonzalez, you have to fight him on these issues to convince people in the country that you're on the right side, people who might remember when the next election comes around. I think one of the great problems of the Democratic Party is that they fight the battles having already decided whether they're winnable or losable, mm-hmm. and then discard, you know, no, this isn't worth it. This guy's going to get through. Well, to me, that's the wrong attitude.
Yeah,
you have to fight and fight and fight. And, you know, next time the election eventually comes. And I think his comparison to the Republicans is very true. I mean, they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and eventually, you know, I remember 94. I think that's what the Republicans should think about now. The Democrats. The Republicans then fought Hillary on the health care plan. They used very sophisticated commercials and all the rest. And they not only defeated the plan, they used that to vault into, into mastery of the Congress, which was absolutely critical. And that's what Democrats have to be thinking of now, seems to me.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dick. Let's take a really quick call. Raina, real quick. What's up?
Hi, Raina.
Hi, good morning.
What's
Thank
on
you
your
guys.
Mind? Sure.
Listen, I was driving to work, and I turned on my radio, and I said, I got to call these people up and express my outrage. I'm a Latina. I'm proud of my heritage, and I am so upset that this is the guy that will represent the Hispanic and Latino population
Thank you.
In the new Bush administration. I read a lot about the Geneva Convention and the Convention Against Torture, and this guy has taken apart the whole concept of what, you know, what.
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. Thanks a lot, Raina. Thanks for expressing that outrage. I don't mean to cut you too short, but we got to wrap up here in a second. And that's good
that's
to hear.
Yeah,
that is good to hear.
Because they're going to play this like, you know, we're throwing a bone to the Latino population.
That's right, and not everybody will agree with them.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Mark Danner. It was great to talk to you. The book is Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror. It's available at a discount at morningsedition.com. That, of course, is the sound of our closing liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. 1. Urge Bush to appoint not just black cabinet members, but really black cabinet members who would accuse other black cabinet members of being too white. 2. Really try to remember who John Kerry was or even what he looked like. 3. Suggest that MoveOn.org change its name to StayHereAndSulk.org. 4. Use the election as a catch-all excuse, such as, I couldn't possibly help you move, man, not with that madman in the White House. And 5. The phrase of the day, just drop it into conversation. Let's produce another movie lampooning the lifestyles and values in the red states. That'll make them come around, man. Thanks again, Mark Danner.
Appreciate it, Mark. Hey, we'll be back with you tomorrow, live, here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Mary.
You too, buddy.